Previously on Best in Show.
Charlton Heston died today.
I closed my eyes and made him go away. I'm sorry.
Do you think someone really took the gun out of his cold dead hands?
So if people aside, family aside, what would be pried from your cold dead hands when you died?
My wife's celibacy.
I would say, I don't want to be like cliche and be like, oh, dude, my bottle would be in my hands. Like, I don't know. Like, there's nothing, I don't know.
I was going to be cliche. I was going to say your bottle.
Yeah.
Brian definitely would have a book.
The Bible.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Keith, what would you have?
Pride from my cold dead hands.
A cold cheeseburger, plain.
Who amongst the members of the show does and does not do what they can to promote Best in Show?
I don't.
Right. Okay. Is there a reason behind why you do or do not promote our show?
My band just got interviewed in the Staten Island Advance, and they were asking like what we did on the side.
You are honestly...
You're a jerk.
I didn't mention the radio show.
You're probably the worst person that ever
existed. You're a jerk.
I don't want anyone in the company being aware of this show for the reasons I brought up earlier.
So then you wear this show as a badge of shame then.
Exactly.
There's something shameful about this thing that we do every week that you feel that you can't bring it to your job.
Absolutely. No, I feel that I'm too open about my past, and I don't want people I work with necessarily hearing about that.
I do everything I can to promote this show. And again, this isn't about, oh, great, Chris is the best.
Here we go. HearUsTalk.net, BestInShowRadio.net.
You're doing it on our show, though.
And incorrectly, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
BestInShowRadio.com here on Hear Us Talk. We're, I suppose we're doing a muffled program this week. Something special is a muffaletta. It's like a nice shrimp sandwich with cheese and olives. We're overmodulating. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Best in Show, BestInShowRadio.com. Now's the time when we start to play the really sad, beautiful labyrinth music to do the intro for our very special friend Keith, as he's part of the show. But apparently our friend Keith is not going to be part of the show this week.
Where is it, Chris?
Keith had a previous engagement that he had to get to, and so he's not going to be a part of this week's program. So I'll just have to say that my name is Chris, and I'll be one of your co-hosts this evening. And by evening, I mean morning. Joining me is my friend Fred here.
Hello. Hello, Christopher.
And in the production chamber, as always, is our friend Brian.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
I'm a little confused as to, as you guys have probably already picked up, we've got a whole new setup here. Things look a lot different. I don't know if things are too loud, too low, whatever. We're getting mixed reviews as to what things sound like. We'll deal with it.
Wait,
Where is Keith, really? He's at a Mets game, right?
A previous engagement? I thought he was married.
Yeah, no, it's, yes, Keith has a previous engagement. He had stuff he had to take care of today that included rooting for a sports team. So Keith is in Queens right now. He's in Flushing Meadows over...
Oh, wait, he's in church.
Yeah, well, he is. He's worshiping at the Church of Beltran. Keith is not going to be joining us because he's going to the New York Metropolitans contest today. He's got really good seats to the game, and he felt as though this is one of the last few chances he was going to have to enjoy the New York Metropolitans at Shea Stadium because they're getting a new stadium.
Before they move, right? Yep.
So, you know, so he decided to go to the game.
How do you feel about this, Chris? Are you a little slighted? Be honest, because I feel a little slighted.
Honestly speaking, I am nowhere near as angry about it as I thought I would have been, or as I'm sure he thinks I would be, or as any of you think I am. You know, I mean, it's a little disappointing to me, considering that in 2+ years, I don't even know how many shows we're up to now. 112, I think this is episode 112.
Yeah, we beat Miami Vice. This is the one we beat Miami Vice.
Thank God we beat Miami Vice. It's all I ever wanted to do. I always wanted to be better than Crockett. Sorry, just getting a little confused by things popping up. So the one thing that I don't how do I word it? I'm not pleased. Pleased that in 112 episodes I've missed one episode, and it was because our friend died the day before. It's a little disappointed to think that someone would miss the show for a baseball contest.
And you know he's having so much fun there, too.
Yeah, well, I called him this morning. I talked to him. I was like, hey, so did you have anything for the show this week? Or, you sending us anything? He was just like, no. No, you guys got it. I spoke to Fred during the week, and he seemed like he had a lot of stuff for the show. So
nothing. He didn't speak to me.
Can't talk baseball.
Yeah, we need you to do your... Who do you think the MVP of the league is going to be?
Now, what would make what time's the game start? Is it starting now?
I think it's a 1 o'clock game. I think it's. I mean, but he's got to travel there. So, I mean, it's fine. He can't make it. It's
Wouldn't
fine.
He be so bummed if he goes to the game and they lose? He would be so bummed.
No, yes, I don't think he. Well, I mean, I think he'll be bummed, but I don't think he'll be any more bummed than not. I don't think he would rather not go and miss seeing them lose as opposed to not going, and you know what I'm saying?
Well, really? Well, I want to see them lose because I don't think he'll have a good time at all. So I looked up voodoo spells on the internet.
Fantastic.
And you want to do a voodoo spell against the Mets to have them lose?
I personally will not partake in that because I'm fond of the New York. Well, I'm somewhat fond. I'm not a hardcore baseball fan, as has been evidenced on our message board lately, which, by the way, our message board is bestinshowradio.com. You click on forum and it takes you right to it because it's like messages/indices something or other with a bunch of numbers. So I'm not gonna do that. But if you go to the forum, Keith and I actually had a little bitch fest on the board this week, fighting over the fact that I ignored a fantasy baseball trade for 2 weeks. And whatever. So he got a little disappointed in me, and we started fighting about nonsense. It was great. Even Vito chimed in on the message board talking about how we should all, we should save it for the air. And I would, but I guess he's on the train right now.
You
going to the game.
If you want to do it on the air, we'll get the transcripts. I could play Keith if you want to play yourself. Can you get it on the online over by you?
I guess I can want me to do that.
You want to do a little Best in Show Theater?
I think there may be cursing, so I'm going to be slightly
concerned. What are you guys looking for? The actual transcript of the fight on the bestinshowradio.com forum.
Oh, boy.
And maybe we could.
All right, so you're going to be Keith starting off with Chris. Check out this MMA Van Halen Miami Dolphins news. By the way, I didn't do any of the regular stuff because I'm not used to it with David Bowie not being here. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can, 877-744-6405. If you want to get us on the instant messenger, you can at Best in Show Brian or Best in Show Chris. Respectively. Pretty soon, apparently, you'll be able to get Best in Show Fred, as he now has a laptop considering the new setup.
I really don't know how to use this. I'm so computer illiterate.
That's right. Horrible. It's barely a laptop, so yeah, I wouldn't really worry about it.
Yeah, it's a really bad computer.
So perhaps I should be Keith, because it's going to take you a good half hour to roll that website up.
I'm doing pretty good. I got it.
By the way, while he was gone, I decided to steal his camera. So, I figured that's all right. So, Cam 2, the Keith Cam, is now the Brian Cam.
Nice. Good for you.
A little bit
of
Chris Cam going on, too.
Well, just a little bit. Just a little. You're going places in the world.
All right. You ready? Little Best in Show Theater here, Chris? All right. Yeah. Be Keith. I'm trying to get a method. I'm going method. Okay. Chris, check out this MMA/Van Halen/Miami Dolphins news. Oh, I don't have anything for that. after all. But since you have a free minute, check your effing trade offers.
I'm declined. Mission accomplished. Declined because I didn't have time to review it.
Yeah, I know. Because it takes a week to read names.
Rather than be a total crybaby C-word explaining how busy I am, allow me to suggest you save yourself the headache of dealing with an unresponsive fantasy baseball manager and stop offering me trades.
Dude, stop taking yourself so seriously. You think of what you're saying. You've been discussing how you have yet to even check for 8 days. I can guarantee you that everything you've done over those 8 days has not been related to your job, family, radio show, or even guild, for that matter. You've changed your lineup. You've made moves on your roster. I posted a comment jokingly about how you haven't responded to my trade offers, and you turned into a Sally Serious, queen of the hissy fits. The best is that this all started with me trying to help you out because you had retired players in your lineup. Good luck the rest of the way. Go draft Ryan Sandberg.
Yes, I take myself so seriously. Keep telling yourself that's what happened here. The fact is that in the grand scheme of things, I don't care all that much about fantasy baseball because I don't have the time to. That's it. You asked me to check my effing trade offers, and because I don't know dick about baseball post-1998, I don't have the time to do the research. I have no idea who Zach Greinke is. I declined. That's my huge crime. I'm not being Sally Serious. You're just a dude making a big deal over the fact that I'm a crappy fantasy baseball manager.
Yes, I take myself so seriously. Keep telling yourself that. That's what's happening here.
Dude, you're reading my line that I just finished. Did you?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man, you just took me out of the whole thing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we were really someplace important.
Sorry if my harsh language is in an obviously sarcastic post offended you. Mission accomplished. I'll stop telling myself you're taking it seriously.
Dude, we're now seven posts into this bitch fight over who's wrong about the way we're addressing a fantasy baseball trade offer while I'm sitting at my desk ignoring the work that needs to be done before I can go home. As you repent for your own harsh language, allow me to do the same. Mission accomplished was an over the way top for me to express that your mission of getting me to acknowledge a trade offer was accomplished. I don't know what I was thinking. Wow. And I get the last word.
Wow.
I would go so far as to say that was probably the most boring 2 minutes of radio ever. Wow.
I didn't know it was that serious. That's the first time I was reading it.
I wanted to chime in with a sports, but I just couldn't break in between all of your vaginal bleeding.
Did you guys apologize over that little fight that you had?
No. We actually just played Warcraft that night. We got together on Warcraft and everything was cool. We just talked as friends, like gentlemen. Man, apparently we're having all the audio issues are ensuing in the chat room. We may have to figure out a way to address this, but we'll deal with it after
the
show.
Did you get to change your roster or no? You didn't even do it.
No, all I did was I declined the trade offers from him and I left it at that. Yeah, so we had big fights over baseball, and I guess as his way of getting back at me, he showed that baseball was more important than the radio show. So he's in Queens right now enjoying it.
I bet you he's home in that poet apartment of his, just chilling out. He just lied about the whole Mets game.
Thing is, he talked about doing it before the fight happened. I would believe it was. I want to make believe that I think that it's possible and plausible, but it's not. Whatever. So that's that.
We miss you, Keith.
Oh yeah, seriously, it was really great having you on. 111 episodes is nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of.
So, do you want me to do this voodoo thing? You think it'll work? I'm gonna do.
I will. I will invite you to do the voodoo thing.
They just say light the first candle and think about good thoughts. So you gotta light this first candle. Think about good thoughts, guys.
Hear us talk.
I said good thoughts, Bri.
Eggs.
I'm thinking some good thoughts?
Eggs with cheese.
Okay, I'm thinking some good thoughts. Let's see.
Eggs with cheese, hot sauce on a bagel. Hot sauce and ketchup.
Keith.
Egg and cheese.
Keith. Tennis on a nice spring day. Tennis. Okay, now we have good thoughts. Now
I'm like, tennis is so not a good thought. Yeah, it's so gay and awful.
I like tennis.
Ulysses.
Now think of bad thoughts. I'm going to light the second candle, and we got to think some bad thoughts. Some bad thoughts.
I had no idea that this is why he wanted candles before the show started. It's so ridiculous.
Bad thoughts.
You're knocking down the fourth wall.
Bad thoughts. Okay. Osama bin Laden.
I have to go to work tomorrow.
Work tomorrow.
Yankees.
Yankees.
Did I change my pants today?
Okay, now I'm supposed to blow out the good candle. The candle that with the good thoughts, I'm supposed to blow it out.
Oh.
And now we just leave the bad thought candle burning.
For the duration of the show?
For however long it stays.
For the duration of the game?
Ew. For the duration of the game.
Why am I thinking bad thoughts for the rest of the...
No, you don't. The candle is carrying the bad thoughts that you forced into it earlier.
Exactly.
By the way, is it the blueberry candle from the Yankee Candle Company
yes.
that is doing it? By the way, in the chat room, Rob Giggs was curious if the ritual was going to stop you from sweating, Fred.
No, that'll definitely not happen.
Oh, I forgot to put that in the bad thought candle. Is it too late to put that?
It is too late to put it in the bad vault.
Oh, man.
Yes. So let's see if the Mets lose. Let's see if voodoo really works.
Yeah, I think that might have something to do with it, or the fact that they're not as good as their opponents. I don't even know who they're playing.
I don't know who they're playing either.
Obviously, I don't know baseball anymore. If it was 1998, I would know baseball. It's 2008.
When did you lose baseball?
Like 98. It's not that I lost it. It's just like I just don't pay attention anymore.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not that I dislike it or anything of the sort. It's just I haven't paid
but
attention.
But your love of football totally eclipses your love of baseball.
It always has. Even 1986, I cared more about football than the Mets at that point. Don't get me wrong. I love the Mets, but I've always cared about football. Ever since like the early, like 83, 84, 82-ish, I've always cared about football more than anything else.
Football, good.
What happened? You're referring to the European football?
Yes.
FUT ball? Awesome. So it's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. We're getting the chat room. We're getting kind words for 1986 from some non-Met fans. So I'm sure we're giving some bad thoughts. Our buddy Ref from Connecticut. Good stuff. So that's about it.
I'm scared what Keith is going to do if they really do lose and he listens to the show.
Oh, there's no chance of him listening to the show. You don't have to worry about that.
Really? Okay, that's good.
He doesn't listen to the show when he's part of it. Why in God's name would he listen to it if he's not a part of it? It's not going to be.
That's part of the bad thoughts.
I was too late. I don't think there's anything more boring than going to a baseball game. I mean, that it just looks boring. Just sitting there, just having food shoved in your face the whole time.
I know it's a nightmare for me. Sitting around eating.
If you got to go to the bathroom, you got to wait on lines.
That would be my nightmare because I would have to use like the public restroom in a sporting place to like make a number two a good five times while I was there. Nightmare.
You're there like
right?
6 hours.
There's no
right?
doors on the stalls or anything like that.
Buy me some peanut. Wait, there's no doors on the stalls?
I'll bet you.
You're out of your mind. It's not a prison. It's not a holding cell. It's a stadium.
I have to imagine that Keith is going to be using the bathroom a couple of times. We'll ask him upon his arrival. I bet you the urinal part of it is one of those big horse troughs that you got to stand in front of.
Yeah, you're totally insane. You're absolutely out of
really?
Your mind. I've been to Shea Stadium.
It's a Shea Stadium, not a bar in Nashville, Tennessee. What are you talking about?
It's not a trough, and it's not CBGB's with a one toilet in the middle of the room with
yes.
no doors around it.
Isn't there a law? Shouldn't there be a law that you have to have doors on stall?
I don't think that there's ever been a need to enforce the crap law to anyone. Like, you know, that you would have to.
Ferry did not have doors on their stalls for a long while. But I think
on
that's because of the
toilet?
Drug. Yes. On the stalls in the toilets had no doors. But I think that was because of the drug problem they might have been
I've
having.
I've been to sporting been events, up. And the bathrooms are always really messed up like that. And like in the Central Park, they're like the Central Park bathrooms. You walk in, there's no door on it. I've made a poop in a public bathroom without a door.
Congratulations, you've
without
made a poop.
A door?
Yes, without a door.
Did somebody see
not,
you?
It was not. I'm sure.
What did
it was
you do?
So.
Did you hold like a newspaper up in front of you?
No, I just went. I went with it.
Were you like cupping your hand like over your private?
No, I tried to go as quickly as possible. I made my business. I got in and out of there.
Could you imagine walking into a bathroom?
All right, hold on. I'm trying to imagine it right
imagine
now.
This. Walking think. Into a bathroom and then seeing somebody in
dropping
a,
an axe.
Dropping an axe with no door to the stall.
You got any paper in that other?
Oh, you know it's got to be a really pleasant bathroom, too. You walk into that, there's just like a hovering green mist of stench kind of blinding you.
That is the worst.
Yeah, I've never been to a public restroom other than CBGB's that didn't have a door on the stall. And again, I generally don't. I don't defecate in public, not because it's just kind of gross.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't have anything to do with it.
I pretty much have broken any kind of hesitancy to do. All I need is like a seat and some paper. Every once, I can't do a hovering job anymore. I need to, like, you know, make a seal.
That would qualify like a movie theater What do you mean a seat in the paper?
I just need, going anywhere. Like every once in a while, you go into a bathroom and there's no seat on it. Like you can't bring it down and clunk.
Well, it's Brian, just you kind definitely of have a problem. Off. I mean, you said a couple of weeks ago that you know you go 9 times a day. That is a problem, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eric Ryan was saying you should go get that checked out.
You know what? I was thinking maybe I should cut back on the alcohol, which would help that situation. I'm sure that would. But I've found, I think my theory is right, basically that cigarettes equals feces. Because
really?
I have, every cigarette equals one like log for me. And now it's starting to like double up. Like I had a cigarette last night for the first time in maybe 2 weeks. And I had, like, right after that, I went 3 times. Like, bang, bang, boom. It was.
And you think it was because of that cigarette?
I think so. My stomach all of a sudden hurts. I got halfway through the cigarette. I'm like, ugh.
I think it's in your head. I think
I went out Friday night, and I was drinking. I was fine, okay with it. And I started smoking cigarettes, and all of a sudden, I'm in the bathroom. It's just.
Oh, you're a nasty human.
I don't smoke a lot. I'm an amateur, so when I do, I guess it hurts me.
That has something to do with actually. Our buddy Raph also in the chat was saying that he disagrees with it because he smokes two packs a day, and he generally craps only once a day. also noted is that Rob Giggs is pointing out that it only took us 23 minutes to start talking about the crap.
Yeah.
We just burst right into it as soon as the show starts.
You need to get that checked out.
yeah. The fact that I don't think it has anything to do with smoking or anything. I think just that you have issues. You have digestive issues.
Look, I do not disagree that there are issues. I think they are radically exacerbated with the cigarettes. And I'm considering, I've cut it back so dramatically that I think I can quit. I think I can give it up. Like the urge hits me when I'm drinking, yes. And I can just fight that urge.
Well, that's good, man. It's the hardest thing to quit.
I'll do that for the summer, maybe. And
summer you're going to
do it?
Right,
I'll quit for the summer. See how it works out, and then in the fall I'll like try it up again. And if it comes back, I'll just stop smoking, I guess.
Well, good luck with that, man.
I would recommend going to a doctor, maybe have them scope you out. You know, check out the scene.
You're absolutely
and,
right.
And
I
figure
should.
Out exactly what's wrong with you.
I should
follow my lead.
You just
went
go
cold
to the
doctor. What's that? Oh, no, I'm not even talking about smoking. I'm just talking about doctor. I went cold turkey away from going to a doctor. That's been my thing.
You see, that's the problem is that would break my streak. I gave up doctors like a good 10 years ago. I really don't. They're bad for my like digestive system.
You're a Christian scientist.
I can't believe he's a scientist.
I went cold turkey on the doctor.
Xenu does not approve of him going to the doctor, so he rather crap 15 times a minute.
Well, you went to the doctor, Chris, under protest. I mean, we had to really lay into you.
I'm sorry. I'm just appalled by Vanessa saying you should poop as much as you eat. One meal in, one meal out.
No.
I agree with that. I eat 9 times a day.
I can't think about girls crapping. I can't think about that. That's hideous to me.
I mean, does a meal really go through your digestive system that fast? I think like I'm pooping out the yesterday's meal. Like I go to the bathroom in the morning, I think I'm pooping out, you know, yesterday's food.
Yeah, it impacts it, but exactly.
But Vanessa's saying you should go as many times as you eat a day. I mean, Chris will be going to the bathroom 17,000 times every day.
Well, the idea is that other food is sort of on top of the pipeline, pushing it through. So
the thing is, one movement, as we could, I can't believe this is where we're at already, but one movement could be larger than a meal. So you could do like a two, you could eat 3 times and have 2 meal-and-a-half sized craps.
Totally.
You know, it could work that way. You know, it's a long.
Or you could not eat and have like a whole butt. You could just not skip a meal and still have to, you know, let one go.
I'm feeling a lot better, by the way. Vanessa pointed out that she said should poop. Should. Since she's a girl, she has nothing to do with any of that. It's got nothing to do
girls
with
don't poop.
Obviously.
This poo math.
Oh, man. All the advice in the chat room is out of control. We're getting the fact that you have Crohn's disease. We're getting the fact that you have irritable bowel syndrome. I got to be honest. I think that you're lactose intolerant. There's all sorts of things.
Somebody's not lactose intolerant, but I am one. I've heard the word Crohn's disease.
I'm not lactose incontinent.
I'm intolerant of the suggestion that I'm lactose intolerant. But Crohn's disease has been mentioned before, and I still have not looked it up. I'm curious. I'm definitely curious about what that.
Crohn's disease. I think my wife's grandfather
has that.
Which is
not Crohn's disease? I'm a crony.
What is that? That has something to do with your digestive system.
I would assume so. If they're no. if that's the response,
you might have like celiac too. So celiac disease. Do you eat a lot
isn't
of
that,
wheat
isn't
bread?
Isn't that the, that's the little drink that comes in the can that you're supposed to no. give to kids when they're young? Celiac.
No, mm. no. It's like something to do with your digestive like inner tubes. I guess intestines have these ridges.
My inner tubes.
But when you have celiac disease, the ridges become flattened, so they can't really absorb and digest
oh,
stuff.
Oh, intestines disease. As Rob Giggs is pointing out in the chat room.
Exactly.
And Fur points out that it's AIDS. Yeah, that's I don't know. I don't want to keep going through the same thing over and over again. But yeah, there's something crazy about the fact, you know, now I am no longer the guy who doesn't go to the doctor. You are now the guy who's focused on for not going to the doctor.
Now that I have healthcare, I have to get a doctor and then go to him and kind of like seal the deal. And the same thing with the dentist. I have to, there's so much work that I need done on my teeth and on my body. I have to find one, go to it, and then it won't be a problem. I'll go to them all the
big
time.
The big problem with a dentist is the fact that if you don't get your teeth checked out, you can die from that.
I've had impacted wisdom teeth for a good decade.
I'm not talking
now.
About pain.
You can
I'm talking
die
about you
from
can die.
From dental problems?
When I was a cab driver a few years back, for those of you who don't know, haven't been friends of the show for that long, I used to be a cab driver. And when I was a cab driver, I actually picked up a guy at his house, and I started driving him to the Vanderbilt nursing home at like 7 o'clock in the morning, which is it's a rehabilitation center on the island. And he's like, yeah, I'm going. I'm just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Somehow we started small talking, and it turns out that I was bringing him back because he was a patient there, and he left last night. He was a guy in his 30s, early 30s. He left in the middle of the night to go just see his family and play cards and hang out because he couldn't take not being home anymore. The reason he was going back is because he just had open heart surgery to clean out the infection that traveled from his mouth and blocked an artery that he had to have bypass surgery for.
I did, as a result of my impacted wisdom teeth, I from time to time get infections in my teeth. It swells up underneath and it hurts.
You're going
to
die.
And I have to take like penicillin and stuff to get it out.
And what happened with this heart guy? That was it?
Well, I don't know. He was in my cab. I didn't take his number and give him a call later. He was just a guy I dropped off.
Oh.
I was bringing him back that he just had open heart surgery, and he was explaining how bad the rib stretcher, is that what they call it?
Yeah, because the ribs
I know
come
they crack
out.
You open yeah. and do it, but I don't know if it's called a rib stretcher or a rib cracker.
The ribs
or,
are like on hinges, actually, and they like the, hinge out.
The jaws of life on the ribs or whatever you want to call it. It's just unbelievably
but
painful.
You were saying about, Chris, about teeth could kill you. What do you mean, your teeth? If you don't get your teeth checked out or if you have an infection with your teeth, you'll die?
This guy, it happened from him having an infection in his tooth and it traveled into his bloodstream. An infection can travel any place. It could be like an embolism, like a aneurysm that they could just go through your blood. It's embolisms, aneurysms.
And you got this
stuff,
infection
yeah.
from what? Getting like a root canal or?
It doesn't happen in your teeth. It happens in your gums. You're like as a result of your tooth breaking the skin
yes.
or something like that. Food
Not
gets
the
in there.
Not the tufas, but the tufas area.
Yes.
Food gets in there and it sort of like deteriorates and then, you know, bacteria form and you get, you get a nasty infection, and that infection, you know, propagates the red blood cells. The like, it bulges out. It creates pain, and it.
And you would think Brian would be much more svelte because he went 9 times a day. I mean, he's as fat as a cow.
Easy.
Look at
him.
Whoa.
I mean, not fat as a cow. Right. A baby cow. A calf.
A lamb.
I think what's happened
a veal.
Here.
I'm as fat as a veal.
I think what's happened here is now with the new setup, there's a break in the table, so Fred is not looking at my stomach the whole show, so he's just looking at some fatty to lash out at, and you're just in his frame of vision.
9 times a day, his...
Yeah, I wish. I wish.
Coke that's not helping.
But he eats 11. So
I drink Diet Coke, so that's why.
Oh, is that what it is, Chris? He eats 11 times and it goes 9. So he's got two extras.
He's got two extras.
I actually do eat several small meals throughout the day. So yeah.
Yeah. How many times do you eat? You really eat that much? What are you having? 5-6 meals a day?
Yeah, I'd say 5. That's I'd crazy. Say 5 meals, but they're tiny meals.
Yeah.
Oof. Or tinier meals. Back. Not too long ago when I was, I was working like a manual labor job about a year ago or so for a while, and I just didn't have time at all while I was doing it because it was a lot of hours and a lot of it was away from civilization and stuff. So I was down to like 1 meal a day, and I just didn't have the opportunity to use the bathroom as much. So yeah, I was pooping a little less, but running around and stuff, I mean, I put on a couple pounds since then. I'm not proud to say.
I was only kidding. The joke it ran deep. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry, dude.
You're touching a nerve a little bit. I'm concerned about my recent weight gain.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the guy who's 288 pounds looks around the room and doesn't have much sympathy for you guys as you cry about your weight problem. So I'm really not all that concerned.
Brian, the ongoing adventures of Brian. Please, have you gotten a prostate exam yet? Because you're coming up to the age where you should start checking them out.
I have not, but that will be when I get the doctor. I mean, I check my prostate regularly, if that
really
makes any sense.
I'm nervous about that.
I mean,
that
I whole do it myself. I don't even know what to look for. I just
because cancer is in my family and prostate cancer is in my family, I'm just nervous about.
Is there a person that lives on Staten Island that doesn't have cancer in their family, though?
No,
just,
yeah, true.
Everybody has cancer around here. Even New York area, Jersey. I mean, it's you know. But doesn't everybody in the world have cancer in their family?
I was at... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Fred.
But sometimes I think it's genetic, and sometimes I think it's your environment and the things that you do. Do you know what I mean? It might not be genetic in your family, but you might smoke for 30 years and get it because of the cigarettes. But then you might smoke for 30 years at cigarettes and not get it.
I was in... I mentioned this last week, but sort of a week and a half ago. For a week there, I took a vacation in Puerto Rico, and it was this little island of Vieques. And I'm sure Keith could go into the dramatic history of Vieques. But in short, for like 50 years in 47, America, the Navy sort of took it over and used it as like a bombing target. Planes would fly over and just regularly bomb the heck out of it. And in like 91, they ended up accidentally bombing like a civilian worker. They're very small, like amount of people live there and so forth. But for 50 years, they didn't build anything. They just bombed the hell out of it. And now in 2003, they pulled out. So they're starting to like rebuild and stuff. And maybe there's like 6,000 or 7,000 people who live there. There is something like a 32% cancer rate in the entire island. And if you get to like certain little neighborhoods or certain blocks, if you will, of radius of people, there's like 80% cancer rate just because of that. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
I would have to say that's an environmental cause. You know what I'm saying?
And, I'm sure the cancer rate on, you know, in the United States is probably up there. That's it.
Yeah.
But I heard on 60 Minutes actually tonight, I think they have this guy, cancer research guy, that I think has like come up with very new advances in the cancer killing field, and I think he might have found a cure. I seen this guy. He has a big. It's going to be on 60 Minutes tonight. He has a big like fluorescent bulb. It looks like, and it's maybe 3 feet long, and it starts flashing on and off. He looks like a raver. Like, you know, it looks like some like
are
rave
you telling
toy.
Me he's got some sort of exterior body light.
Yes, and he like flashes
voodoo.
It. He flashes it.
Voodoo, that's what it is.
And you see him flashing it against people. I don't know what. If 60 Minutes is doing it, he might have some, you know.
If it's on TV, it must be true.
Yeah, legitimacy.
60 Minutes is like the yellow journalism of news television.
I'm trying
to. Is that on Fox yet, by the way?
No, it's not. It's on Channel 2, I think. It's legit. Come on.
Ugh.
Think positive.
Shame on you.
Think positive thoughts. Why couldn't it be, you know, a cure for cancer would
right.
be amazing.
A light bulb cures cancer. No, you could be right. That could work. That could work.
There's this guy with the fluorescent light bulb just flashes people
and maybe
like,
we're not
outside.
Alone.
And they say it might cure cancer.
It might.
Silly.
It might.
I want to get it now and see if it.
I'm going to start my own thing. And I'm going to start doing it. And I think pissing in people's faces will cure cancer. I want a big line of rubes just to get in front of me. And as they come by, you know, they'll have to wait until I can muster up the power of the gods and my disease curing abilities and give them a little squirt in the face.
Listen, my grandmother, who I love dearly, has cancer, and I will go through that treatment. Just because
it won't work for her. We've tried, but that was sort of, there was a different thing going on.
If he suggested that peeing in your grandmother's face might actually have a chance of curing cancer, would you allow him to pee in your grandmother's face?
Of course, I would. Of course, if it's going to save my grandma, it's only, you know, it's a 20-second ordeal, and she might live.
What if your grandma said no? Would you hold her down?
Yes,
like, crispy on her face.
Yeah, exactly. I'd put my knees in her elbows, and he'd grab her hair and hold her head back.
I mean, people do the same things, just not like
they do. Oh, sure, they do.
People do crazy things like diets and stuff like that all the time, and you know, they're just as stupid.
Okay. You've just equated people wanting to lose weight with being the same thing as people get willing to accept urine in the face to cure their disease.
I think he's talking about other diets.
I'm talking about the Atkins disease. The Atkins disease. The Atkins diet.
Speaking of, I have the Atkins disease. Could you help me out with one of your beers from an Atkins disease?
So the Atkins
Atkins diet, you have to eat all fats and stuff like that. Just stupid.
That is not what the Atkins diet
no
is.
Carbs. You, no carbs.
Yes. Just no carbohydrates. It's got nothing to do with all fats.
Okay. So but you're allowed to eat as many
meats
fats
and cheeses and stuff like that. You're going to tell me that's not as stupid as somebody saying...
The purpose of the Atkins diet, the Atkins diet is
you're talking
is
to someone who was on
I was
the
not,
Atkins
I was not on Atkins. Oh. I was on South Beach, which is similar. But Atkins, is the point of it is to lose weight, not to make you healthier. And you will lose weight. You'll just, you know...
Knock I mean, a couple
you'll
years lose, off your life.
I was going to say, you'll lose weight from the cancer that you're getting, basically. But then I'll piss in your face and it'll all be fine. It'll okay. be a wash.
Exactly. So say 60 Minutes this Monday says, okay, if this guy pisses in your face, you get cured of cancer. Everyone starts doing it. Do you think that is just as stupid as the Atkins diet? Do you know what I mean?
No.
No?
I mean, I am not a proponent of the Atkins diet because it is unhealthy, but people do it so that you can lose weight.
Does it work?
And it does work. It is real. Well, the thing is, I did South Beach. I didn't do Atkins. And South Beach is low fat and no carb.
Your cancer treatment will simply give someone a piss face. Like, that's it. That's all that will happen.
Okay. But this light bulb. Say this light bulb thing. You know? I'll forget it. Forget it.
By the way, the diet being recommended in the chat room is the Coke diet, and I don't think that we're talking about soda here.
It's yeah, it's hard to get off it though when you do it. Two weeks, you lose 50 pounds, but then you're hooked.
Oh man, I gotta get some pictures of me as a Cokehead up and just look at how handsome and svelte.
Were you tiny?
How far?
I used to be such a good looking guy when I was.
How
slim.
Much did you weigh about?
Oh, probably like 160, 170 ish. Dude, you knew me during this time of my life.
Yeah, but I weighed 120, so it was always like...
You know, I have seen...
Fatty. Wow, you're so fat, 160 pounds.
I have seen, and Rob Giggs noticed in the chat room, 39 minutes in, drug talk. We got pooped by at 26, 39 drugs.
All right, well, all right, what's next?
What are we going to do for the next 2 hours?
Damn it.
Did the South Beach work for you, though, or no?
Yes, it did.
Really?
Yes, it did. But it's, once you stop it, it comes right back. Once you start eating carbs again, you're done.
I've seen videos of you when you were svelte, but I just figured that was because you were a teenager. Like, literally, you looked like a teenager.
Okay, well, there are some videos of me as a teenager where I was still skinny from then.
I guess I've never seen you skinny.
I have some videos. I'll send you. I'll show you the video. Maybe I'll even put it up because now we actually have the ability with Ustream here on Hear Us Talk to put some videos up. Maybe I'll put some videos of like the porno convention I went to and me walking around like in just a pair of boxer shorts, like maybe 170 pounds, something
See,
like that.
I'm kind of bummed out because I've grown up. I'm about 15, 20 pounds overweight, and I'm never going to be a skinny guy. I'm never going to be categorized as a skinny guy anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Like, Dennis Callow is a skinny guy.
Oh, Dennis from Saints and Lovers. Yes. Our buddy Saints and Lovers, which you can check out. And I don't remember if they're saintsandlovers.net or .com. Just go to MySpace. They're one of our top friends. Go to MySpace.com/bestinshowradio and you can learn all about Saints and Lovers.
He's considered a skinny guy. I'm never going to be like his weight. Do you know anymore?
I know exactly what you mean. I grew up as a skinny guy. I was always short and just way underweight. I was a buck 05, so and wet, all the nicknames down, and I fear that that's never going to happen.
Do you ever think you're going to get back there? Me neither. And Chris, do you ever think you're going to be categorized as a skinny guy?
Oh, yeah. Any minute now. Any day now. No,
and does that bum you out?
No, I've never. I mean, the last, I don't want to say never, but it's been a long time since I've been categorized as a skinny guy. I don't think I was ever really skinny. I was a coked out
Stocky.
Guy. Yeah, I was even, and even then, like, I wasn't bone skinny. I still had, I was still a loosey goosey. So, yeah, I had a little extra junk in the trunk, as it were. I don't care about it. I'm quite comfortable in my skin. I know,
really?
I'm very, very pleased.
Even
with
as you get older,
of course you're comfortable in his skin. You're
so
much
loose.
Of it.
It's so loose. It's loose. It's not tight.
It's padded.
It's like my sweatpants. I'm very comfortable in sweatpants.
Yeah, no, but I have no quarrels about who I am. I'm married. I feel like I'm retired. I don't have to worry about trying to get a chick or.
But
anything
even getting
like
older,
that.
Does it getting older bum you out?
Yeah, of course. I think we started talking about this a couple weeks ago. Yeah, of course, getting old bums me out. You know what it is? It's. I guess the argument that I always go with is the whole thing is I've lived a life, so I can't complain. I've had my fun and I've had a good time, but of course it's somewhat disappointing to think that not only does my better days are past me, most of my days are past me. That's what I'm thinking at this point. I can't imagine that I'm going to get to 70. So I would assume that more than half of my days are gone. Right?
The average lifespan is 77.
I think it's like 74.
I thought it was 70.
I don't know.
Close to there.
Yeah, and I told you, I went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago, and my doctor's exact words were, go to an old age home. Take a note of how many fat people are there. There are none. And, yeah, so I don't think I'm going to be making it to 77, 78.
See, that's the thing about not being skinny is, like, I could you know, get back on the more healthy eating lifestyle. I could go back into the gym and exercise pretty regularly. And I will never get to the skinny part. I used to be able to eat with reckless abandon. Mm-hmm. I used to be able to just eat whatever I wanted and didn't have to care about it. And you know, that's how it did. Now, I could still work my ass off and be svelte, not skinny, but, you know, beefy and all that stuff. And I'd still have to worry about, like, eating a steak or a hamburger or something.
Even drinking this beer right now, I'm just so bummed out. I'm like, I shouldn't be drinking this beer. I'm going to get bloated. I feel like a chick.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a damn chick, dude.
I wish I was skinny.
What? What are you laughing at me about?
I'm laughing because I'm sitting here drinking the beer saying, damn, I shouldn't be doing this. My blood pressure. Whatever.
We're doing it for, we're doing it for more vain reasons, I guess.
Have you found out if there's any byproducts or any bad things about the blood pressure medication you're taking, particularly mixing with alcohol? Like, after our conversation last week, did you look into that at all?
You listen to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk, which I didn't do that at the beginning of the show, hearustalk.com. Come be part of the magic. Click on video, be part of this chat room, this magical, mystical wonderland, or come over to Pal Talk. You can go to radio/TV, I think it's comedy, or radio TV, I don't remember what the hell it is. You can find us, or get us on the hotline, 877-744-6405, Instant Messenger, Best in Show Brian, Best in Show Keith. Oh, wait, no, Best in Show Chris. And that's about it.
You know, Rob Giggs in the chat room brings up a good point. Keith's not there. Chris, your blood pressure should be fine. So I'm wondering, maybe if we had a way to measure that, now that Keith is not around.
I will without question say that of the four members of the show, the three other members of the show, other than myself, Keith raises my blood pressure the least.
I probably raise it the most.
On the message board when he fights with me about fantasy baseball trades, that could maybe get to me a little bit. But no, he doesn't. During the show, he's really easy.
He did call you queen of the hissy fits.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. It's you know, I'll be the first person to admit it that I'm at a.
We should get a blood pressure monitor and like usher one person out of the room for like 30 seconds and like see.
We'll just show pictures of us, you in a blank room, and we'll show pictures of all of us.
Okay, next week's show, 100%. In the next room, I actually have a pulse ox machine that takes your pulse that ox. Keeps your pulse and lets you know how much oxygen is in your bloodstream. We don't care about the pulse oxygen ox. Part. But I have one of those in the next room. I will set it up for next week's show, and we will hear my blood pressure hear my pulse go up and
those
down.
Those are symptoms of what? Just your pulse rate as a symptom of
stress?
Your pulse ox. I'm imagining that's going to generate out a number that reflects what?
No, it will show three different numbers. It'll show the amount of oxygen in my blood, when I'm my systolic oxygen in blood, my diastolic oxygen in blood, and my pulse rate. The main thing we'll be concerned with, we'll just put the pulse rate on just to see what gets my heart rate going.
Does that reflect stress, or is that just blood pressure, or is that
stress?
Like
your pulse rate would be
or lying.
Your pulse rate would be reflected in would reflect stress. Yeah. It wouldn't necessarily reflect the pressure. We would need to have a blood pressure machine just here at all times. Which I think if you leave a blood pressure machine on the entire time, my arm would fall off. I would get gangrene because the circulation would be cut off for 3 hours.
Oh, that's the one that it's like the
right. They
one
put the cuff on and they figure out they let it go as loose as they possibly can to let the stuff through.
Oh, doctors scare me, man. I went to a doctor a couple of weeks ago. It's just scary because you don't want to get that bad news. You're afraid of what he or she is going to say to you.
You are a robot.
Yeah, right.
I have your diagnosis, Fred. It says here that you are not human, and you're alone.
When I was a kid, when I went to the doctor, I always thought the doctor was going to come in with his clipboard and turn the page and be like, Fred, I got some bad news. You're adopted. It's like, why would he know that I'm adopted? But that was my fear for some reason. I didn't know.
Like, how would he figure that
Fred,
out?
Fred, when we put the thermometer in your ass and figured out what your temperature was, we noticed that you couldn't possibly be a member of your family.
Fred, I'm sorry to say, but my paperwork shows that you have girl parts.
Dude, I'm scary.
The paperwork.
It's so scary.
I'm very uncomfortable, Fred. The fact that you poop lettuce means that you aren't a member of your own family.
Dude, getting
old,
though.
It says here, Fred, that you are black.
Yeah, oh, that would be good news, actually. That would be great news. I'd get into college for free.
I don't know.
What? I would.
I guess.
But getting old.
I said black, not Chinese.
When you guys were young, in your heyday, you were into music. Did you knew, like, all the music that was going on? Did you know, like, the top five songs of the country? Like,
I'm sure I did, but it wasn't like
96.
That. It wasn't that I was into that. I just knew people that were into it because I was always into, you know, the more either metal or punk rock, yeah, or alternative type stuff is the only stuff I was ever really into. I was never really into regular music, the common pop fare.
Dude, I have the top four songs of 2008. I bet you $70 you do not get one of these songs.
Superman.
1998?
Not Super. No, 2008. 2008.
This year?
This year, 2008. I bet you guys, I really bet you $50 you don't get one.
Yeah,
song.
I'm not going to take that bet. If you give me a reward, I'll take it.
You know what? I'm going to even just put up, you guys don't have to put up any money. If you guys get it, I will give you
how many songs?
Four songs.
Four songs. I need to know, and they're off the top 10?
Do I know?
Artist and title?
These are the top songs of 2008. The four songs.
Okay.
And so we're almost four full months in, actually 3.5 months in. So in these 3 months, so these are all recent songs.
Yes.
So I mean, if you were listening to Z100 yesterday, as I know you always are, Brian, you probably heard all these
jams. This has been the top.
Read a book.
This has been on the top 100, top one for 10 weeks. 10 weeks from December 30th, 2007 to March 8th.
No look in the chat room.
Yeah.
I just looked in the chat room. And I know who this one is. I would have never got this though.
This is, you know,
I only know because I look in the chat room.
Yeah, we have to make.
Stop looking in the chat.
Flo Rida, featuring T-Pain.
Flo Rida and Low. I think his name is. Yeah, I knew that one. All right, hold on. I'm gonna actually shut my screen off so I can't see.
Oh my god.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not great, but it's not horribly bad like the rest of. This is certainly not that ooh song. That's so horrible.
Superman.
Oh, Soulja Boy. Yeah.
Soulja Boy, yeah.
All right, that's horrible.
This was on for 3 weeks. This was on number one from March 9th to March 29th.
Oh, so this is recent.
Yes.
These are the hot. These are the hottest of the hot.
It's the hotness.
I do it for the ladies.
Do it for the ladies.
Gotta keep it hood.
I bet you that's Let It Be by the Beatles is the sample.
Does that count?
I'll keep you right. This is T-Lock, T-Log, something like that. You see, you're searching for somebody that'll take you out and do you right. Throw you out a window, now I'll tell you that the thing's alright.
This is Love in the Club. Love is in the Club, isn't it?
By T-Boz.
Usher, dog.
T-Lock.
T-Boz.
Usher featuring Young Jeezy.
Oh, Young Jeezy.
Oh, Young Jeezy. Everyone knows Jeezy. Young Jeezy.
Exactly.
All right, next.
Okay, so this is a 1 week, March 30th to April.
Whoa.
I'd say Someone Strangling Someone is the name of that song.
March 30th to April 5th. I never heard of this at all in my life. Closed off from
love, didn't mean the pain. I'm going to guess it's Carrie Underwood because that's the only girl I know who sounds like something.
It's a good guess, definitely. But
this is Carrie Underwood.
Actually, this the name of the song is very controversial. I'll just tell you that. Her name is Leona Lewis.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
And the name of the song is Bleeding Love.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I just found it very controversial.
Oh, so you found it controversial.
Yes.
It's controversial between me and me.
Yeah, these are terrible.
Horrible. And now this is the number one song.
This would be good if she shut up.
I enjoy that one.
Rewind that. Play that again. Yeah. Imagine this without her singing.
I don't care what you say.
Imagine that. This could be Radiohead.
Oh, with, like,
take her vocals out.
Yeah, because it's an organ.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could also be walking into my church on a Sunday,
but
too.
But listen when the drums come in. Hold on.
Just fast forward. Don't torture us.
Stop. It's right here. It's right here. Kind of good music. Take her voice out. This is actually pretty.
I probably wouldn't describe that as kind of good music. It's just like, I mean, standard fare electronica.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay.
And now this is
MC.
This is MC.
It's someone from the south. And let me bang, make a ball up a ding dong.
I recognize that voice.
I totally dig it. Bro, this is Rihanna. This is
My Body, it's called.
This is Chocolate for Candies.
Mariah Carey's back.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Number one.
Oh, E equals MC squared, dog. That's the name of the new Mariah Carey album. I only know from the sort of drive-by on a bus the other day.
Oh, is the MC squared for Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey. She's here the second time around.
So wait a minute. It's energy.
is equal to Mariah Carey, Mariah Carey.
No, eroticism equals Mariah Carey twice.
Those are the top four songs of the year. I don't know one. I don't think they should have never been written. Oh, my God.
By the way, now that I have my my screen back on, we're being told in the chat room that the music is way too loud. It's making everything...
I think that's the... Whenever we talk in music, that's what's bad with the whole sound stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like in the beginning.
I think it's just taking it all down. I think taking the wave level down would be a good idea. Whatever. Tech Talk. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on hearustalk.com, where we're doing lots of stuff. I was about to say something before, and I got totally confused. It's probably good to try and take time to say, hey, I wanted to remember something. It's good for the show. The show, that show being Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, you get us on the hotline if you so choose, 877-744-6405. You can get us on the instant messenger, Best in Show Brian or Best in Show Chris, or join us in one of the many chat rooms and be part of it. I've got the air conditioner actually on in the room because it's been a little bit warm this week. I've actually been enjoying some short weather. I'd like to make a quick as I mentioned Heroes Talk and talking about the weather. I'd just like to address it a little bit quickly in the chat room if I can here. On this week's DJ New Style show, there was some talk about guys who are wearing shorts already, that it's too soon to be wearing shorts, and that it's guys that want people to look at them when they're wearing shorts. I just want to say to Germ, I do not apologize. Copyright Germ Freak 2008. I think it's ridiculous that when it's 70 degrees out, a gentleman can be wearing shorts, and a gentleman can wear a sweatshirt with those shorts, and it's an attractive look. I rocked it all week. Thank you very much. Good night.
Wait, that's not an attractive look. Come on.
You don't think a sweatshirt with shorts and nice sneakers is a nice look? A nice, like a college kid going to class look? Like the nice hoodie with the shorts. Okay.
Yes, if you were in college and you were going to
class. With my balding gray head as I'm walking to class. You don't think that's an attractive look?
Okay, what's the cutoff, really? There should be a month. Like January, February, March. January, February, March. Well, how does it go? January, February, March, April. Maybe April. Yeah, April is the start. You could wear shorts now. Definitely.
Dude, it was 70 degrees twice this week. How could you not wear shorts when it's 70 degrees? I actually went to the tattoo shop yesterday. I went to a buddy of mine, got a tattoo yesterday. And I went to Ron and Dave's, myspace.com/Ron and Dave's. I went there yesterday, and I was outside wearing my sweatshirts and my hooded sweatshirt and shorts, my look that I'm quite fond of. And I actually had to go to the car and take my sweatshirt off because it was too hot even for that.
Did you have sweat stains like these?
No, I'm a human being. I'm not a disgusting monster like you.
My arm has been right next to the air conditioner. It's like probably inside the air conditioner. And look at that sweat stain.
Oh my God, you're hideous. You are a vile, vile creature.
Just been sitting here doing nothing.
But I applaud that sweatshirt short look because it takes a real.
So you agree with the folks over at the DJ New Style show, our station mates and compatriots, that you think that's a good look and that's something. Oh, that's not a good look.
Not a good look. I don't think it's not a good look, but I don't disrespect because of the hot weather. I see why you would wear the shorts. Of course, I just wouldn't wear the look like Brian's look today, with the sweatpants and the sweatshirt. Look at him. Look at him. He looks like he's about to go on a shooting spree.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
You're wearing pajamas outside, basically.
Yeah, but you wear sweatpants every friggin' show, Chris.
It's his house. He's not going out in public.
Sweatpants? What are you talking about? I never wear sweatpants. I wear shorts every week.
That can't be true. I swear I've seen you in sweatpants before.
I've never seen Chris in sweatpants.
Oh, dude, I own one pair of sweatpants, and I wear them so infrequently, it's absurd.
Oh, those are the really baggy ones you have, right?
When I went to Puerto Rico, before I did it, I went on my way back from the show the Sunday prior to it. I went to Century 21. I bought two pairs of sweatpants because all my sweatpants are jacked up. Like, I break the tie from tying it too tight, and two pajama bottoms. When I'm not outside, I just live in pajama bottoms, and it's like, oh, I got to go to the store. I better throw on sweatpants. And I go out. Now I'm giving up on the sweatpants. I walk out in pajamas. I did my laundry yesterday in pajamas.
But Century 21 is like a place where you go to get your work clothes. Why not go to Kmart and get, like, sweatpants? Do you know what I mean? You probably paid double the price you would at Kmart.
No, Century 21's at El Cheapo, sort of. Yeah, they give you all the deals from last season, and it's a discount store.
I'll tell you one thing. How the hell did they get that name from the real estate company?
I wondered that as well. I wonder who got it first, if they're suing each other for it. I was always curious about that.
Huh. But I could never go out in sweatpants. I don't know. I don't know why. I'm too self-conscious. I think people will be judging me for some reason.
Well, I had an issue.
You're self-conscious? Dude, in all honesty, maybe step in front of a mirror when you're walking out of the house in the morning. You think that because you don't have sweatpants on, you have some sort of some level of gorgeousness about what you're doing?
Not gorgeousness. I'm just afraid that I'll be prejudged as, you know, maybe in the mafia.
I will say that that sweatpants to me are more the laundromat clothes. That means I'm out of clothes if I'm down to my sweatpants, because I can't. It's not like I can wear sweatpants to work. And like I said, I'm a shorts guy. I'm always shorts. I challenge. I'm telling you. Look back at all of like the Heroes talks. Like
In shorts.
I'm always in shorts.
I had an issue going,
especially in this room, because this room. That's why I have the air conditioner on now. Like when it gets to be like 80, 90
it's
degrees,
be bad in here.
I'm a horrible person. Like I can't function. I need my skin to be ripped off. I need, you know, I'm a portly guy. I'm stout.
Do you sweat though? Is it like a sweating thing where you just feel uncomfortable in your skin?
I'm just hot. I guess I sweat. I don't know.
I have issues going out in public with, and it took me a little to break it in, but I did just sort of make the decision here. I'm at the radio show. It's not going to be really big, but Rob Giggs in the chat room brings it up. Sweatpants in strip clubs. Rock. Good God.
I guess that would be a place where you could wear sweatpants because it's easy.
Could not wear sweatpants.
I could see it the other way. It's easy access. Do you know what I mean? You get like...
Where do you have to get to? What do you need to access?
Okay. If you wear a single...
As opposed to your chastity belt, you're going to wear your sweatpants instead? I don't get that.
I'm also talking about the friction. Okay. Jeans or sweatpants, if you're getting...
You want your lap dance to turn into a dry hump.
Yeah. Embarrassment factor would play pretty high.
Yeah, what happens when the light gray pants turn dark gray right in the front? What happens at that point?
What is he, peeing in his sweatpants?
That means they did their job. I mean,
the girl looks at you and says, I don't have cancer. Stop.
Wow, we should end the show right there.
Why? What happened?
It's not going to get better than that.
Great. That's a sad, sad state of affairs. Now, I don't think I've ever. I'm trying to think if I've ever finished in a strip club, and I don't think I possibly could have.
I couldn't either.
Was in a strip club when some guy finished once, and the stripper figured out what happened, like right off the bat, and she just threw a hissy fit. I can't believe you did that. And,
You did this to me. You're the one that made this happen. I'm not the one
guy. He barely like got out of the place. Like he was kind of shrinking down in his own shirt.
Shouldn't that be like the desired effect? That means you're good at your job. You should take it as a compliment.
She was freaking out. She was screaming and yelling. She was swearing, pointing at him, like telling the bouncers to go over and get this guy out of here. I can't believe.
Well, Space in the chat room was in the Heroes Talk room was talking about how they would kick you out for something like that. I just don't understand that. It's the desired effect.
It's a walking billboard.
It's an industry of eroticism. If a mission accomplished, to go back to the message
was tease. If you're just getting,
then don't rub your gonch up against mine.
Yeah, I mean, you go into a strip club and you get that for the $20, go in the back room, you get rubbed up against, but only a select few of those people are willing to go the extra distance, and it's not going to be for $20. You got to pay a lot extra for that kind of attention.
But the point is, obviously, for these people, they don't have to go that extra mile.
Well, that's the point, is like a stripper in her head thinks, oh, I'm not a prostitute. I am not going to actually sell my body
for
someone else's orgasm.
You already did. The problem is with yourself and your own self-image. Get the hell out of here.
I'm sure that's where the schism happens in their head. They're like, oh my God, I just became a prostitute and he didn't even give me the extra $100.
Rob, in addition to pointing out that we should be using sweatshirts, has also pointed out that he's found rubbers in the bathroom at a strip club. So guys are protecting. They're preparing themselves. They're wearing sweatpants and rubbers, I guess.
Think about this, Chris. You're a male stripper. You're in dancing male stripper, dancing for a lady. You dance lap.
A
dance
smoking hunk, if you will.
Smoking hunk. You get up from the lady's lap, and there's a big wet stain there.
Of hers?
Of hers. Do you kick her out, or do you say, what do you say in that situation?
What do you say? I would walk away there like it was a badge of honor. Like, all right, I did a good job. I worked it out. That's what I think that these strippers should be looking at it as.
Exactly.
You get to put some like some stripper music on. I want to think about being at a strip bar right now. I want to get all excited about stuff.
Do you really like strip bars?
Hey Donna, I see Brendan looking at you when you're shaking that ass for $1.22. Tell me what is going. What is going? Like, I can't even do this singing thing anymore. It's just stupid. I just got to stop doing it. Vanessa, tell me you can hear us and we sound okay. Tell me you could hear us talk.
I hear you talk. I hear you. And I can't believe what you're talking about.
Well, you don't like that we're talking as about strip bars as soon as we're bringing you in? Isn't that exactly isn't that the intro you always wanted?
Ralph in the chat room says 9021 ho.
Oh, jeez. Ladies and gentlemen, now coming to the stage is Vanessa.
All right, you ready? This is, I'm just going to go. I'm so mad that Keith isn't there today, but.
Yeah, join the club.
Us too.
Get in line.
We got the voodoo stick still, buddy.
He would have gotten us off this off the ridiculous conversations we've been having for the past hour.
No, I won't. Possibly a little late to the party, I'd like to talk about the Oscars this year. A woman named Diablo Cody wrote a screenplay about teen pregnancy called Juno, for which she won the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. 2 years ago, in the midst of the memoir fever that has swallowed up the literary world, she wrote a blog-turned-published book about a year she spent working as an exotic dancer. I didn't read her book, nor had I heard of it prior to her Academy Award nomination, after which I heard about it a lot. A couple months ago in an airport, I read the back cover. It looked light and fluffy and basically uninteresting beyond the obvious. She wrote it about stripping. But just from scanning the cover, I could tell she wasn't really a stripper. She was a journalist, and while she might have always wondered what it would be like to take her clothes off in front of a crowd of strangers, it is my suspicion that getting a job as a dancer was much more about getting published than actually needing to venture into that line of work. Diablo Cody seems no more a stripper to me than Gloria Steinem was a Playboy bunny, despite the fact that she went undercover to work as one and write an expose. But motivations aside, if you've heard the name Diablo Cody, you've probably heard the word stripper along with it. Some headlines from the last few months from CNN, ex-stripper in movie spotlight. From LA Times, Diablo Cody, from stripper to screenwriter. From Times Online, lap dancer turned ace screenwriter. From the New York Times, off the stripper pole and into the movies. Diablo Cody was also a disc jockey and a proofreader, but she didn't find those jobs to be memoir-worthy, and the papers certainly don't find those jobs headline-worthy. I bring this up because we touched on the concept of honesty last week, about feeling conflicted about what we share here on the radio, and if we are sharing, does that make us want to guard who we tell about the show? But what are we really doing here if we're not being honest? And if we aren't going to try to promote the show, why bother doing it? So here's my Best in Show back pocket secret. From the ages of 21 to 26, I was an exotic dancer. I didn't do it to write a book. I did it for a living. It certainly doesn't define who I am now, but there are a lot of interesting anecdotes worth telling, and I feel bad that I haven't shared. So I'm open to questions. From bachelor parties to Best in Show radio news, I'm Vanessa Cheatwood.
Wow. That's fantastic news that I love the idea that you're actually coming out and talking about it.
I knew Vanessa looked familiar.
Oh, jeez. No, and of all times for the Ustream to die out, Ustream just disappeared on us right now.
I'm trying to, tell everyone in the chat room what you just said.
Does this mean we all have to give a revelation about ourselves now? Come on, Chris.
Vanessa gave me a lap dance, and I was wearing sweatpants.
Wow. So you were really conflicted about that whole issue, Vanessa?
Yeah, listen to the conversation you were just having prior to me getting on air and the way you were speaking about
it. So Vanessa, did you actually have the experience of a gentleman in sweatpants at a strip club? Have you ever you worked in clubs? You did private parties? What exactly did you do?
I started briefly in clubs and then moved on. Moved on to bachelor parties quickly.
And what did you like better?
What do I like better?
I mean, I'm sure you didn't like either, but what did you like doing better?
It's I was not very good at talking to guys. The strip club cruise where you have to really schmooze up to guys and work really hard to. To get attention from them, that was something that was against my nature, and I was more likely to be bitchy to them.
So you were better off. You were better off at the bachelor party where.
So at a bachelor party, which was, you know, I could work Friday and Saturday night only, and make the money that I would have had to work all week to make.
I'm sure you made a pretty good penny. No, did you make good money?
I made good money.
Was it hard to leave because of the money?
It's honestly so. You hear as she's talking about this that this is not an easy thing to talk about.
Totally.
I feel really creepy and rotten right now.
But I just have to, you know.
Well, here's the thing you didn't feel creepy and rotten a few minutes ago when you said that, you know, oh, well, the guy made in his pants, and that meant she was doing a good job. Like, that's. Yeah.
But isn't that the idea? It's, you know what, but we're
no, it's not.
But that's the idea of what. Don't get me wrong. People that do jobs that they do the jobs because they're going to get the financial reward from them that they desire. It doesn't, you know. I guess if you're looking at it in that way, that it's just something that you've got to truck through and you've got to trudge through and just do. It kind of sucks to think of it that way. And I guess it's. How do I say this? Did you perform lap dances? Have you performed? There we go. Our chat room is sort of back. Awesome.
Like I said, during a brief time in clubs, I did. We're going back now. I mean, this is the early 90s. So the same way that if you were looking at anything involving the sex trade, you know, if you're looking at dirty magazines or porn, things that are going on now is very different from what was going on a decade ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything has kind of upped the ante.
Yeah, it's to the 10th power or whatever now.
I'm right. Sure. So where I worked, the place that I worked, there were a lot of rules and regulations about how things were done. And I would say now there's probably a lot more activity that goes on than would have been acceptable at places I worked.
Well, I guess that's my question. All right, it's a different day now and a different place, as I understand as well. Is it such that there were people, there were women that you were working with that actually were known to be able to, if you pay them a little more, you get a little different service, if you know what I'm getting at?
No, there weren't. And that's something that has... That assumption that if you're a dancer, then, you know, you're only $100 away from being anything anybody wants. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how it was for me or the people that I worked with or knew.
Not every dancer, but I know from
personal experience
with people being in a strip club that. They know that there are certain specific dancers that if you take them back and offer them money, they can do something else to you.
I'm not going to suggest that it doesn't happen. But,
okay.
But no, I didn't find that to be the norm. I mean, I think that in any kind of business, there's probably one chick that's looser than all the rest.
Of course. But you as another stripper...
Why would dancing be any different from that?
But you as another stripper would know about that particular one, right?
Actually, it was considered to be very bad form. Like, so if you knew about it, that was a girl you'd never want to work with. To get her fired. You wouldn't associate with her at all.
That girl being there is the reason why guys like me would bring coke to the strip bar with me.
No, don't get me wrong. It's like, I, as uncomfortable as I am at a strip bar, having to pay someone to go back to get them dance on me is a nightmare situation for me because I don't like being touched, much less the extra $100 I have to pay for someone to actually touch me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll be honest. I've definitely enjoyed strip bars in my time. I've definitely gotten to do the lap dance thing, but I've never you know, been so lucky or the dance. Has never been so unlucky as to get me to finish, as it were, as was the thing that we were talking about before that's in here. And that's why I started talking about it and then got distracted by our chat room problems that we were having here. But so, Vanessa, you were saying now you've given lap dances in clubs before then, and have you ever had the experience of or do you know of anyone that had the experience of the finisher?
No, but it was like I was saying about the rules that were going on with and how things have changed. The contact that we were allowed to have during my time with patrons, it just that wouldn't have happened. we just didn't have that level of contact. You know, it wasn't a lap dance was something that was. It was a table dance, mm-hmm. first of all. You know, okay. It wasn't. Right. It just wasn't the same as it is now.
Yeah, it's a different scene.
Vanessa, do you regret doing it?
You don't sound like you exude a lot of enjoyment in recounting these mm-hmm. days. So I would assume that there's some level of regret at the very least. So it's.
It's kind of pointless to regret things. I mean, I'm a sum of my parts. You know, I am
right on
who I am now because of things that I went through. I know why I did it at the time, and I know what I didn't do. I know what my boundaries were, and
always stood true to yourself.
What was that?
I said you always stood true to those things that you set for yourself. So it's a different.
I know who I was at the time, and. I don't feel like I should be ashamed of it. At the same time, it's not, you know, it's not really a badge of honor for me, you know, like I'm not proud, but I don't think that I should be ashamed mm-hmm. either.
Absolutely not. I don't. There's no reason to. I got to be honest. I'm trying to think back to what we were saying right before the report started. I'm just trying to think. We had a negative overtone to what we were saying as we were going through. I'm trying to really recall.
Maybe I'm hypersensitive, but yeah. It did sound negative.
You guys were making bad jokes about, and I have to assume they were just sort of tongue in cheek. You were making like, well, that's what they're there for. They, you know, they should be commended. They did a good job by making this person ejaculate.
For a girl.
And by the way, you guys.
Okay, absolutely me. Absolutely me.
No, I will
say it. The thing is,
I blame Keith. Reaction to what was being described. Yeah, but, said, get this guy out of here. Yeah. You know, I mean.
But if what you were doing, was rubbing your crotch up against another guy's crotch, be it because you were doing it for money or not, you're grinding your crotch against another person's crotch, how could you not expect that there will be some completion? How could you not? I mean, especially if you're dealing with the one that we were talking about was an older guy that we were dealing with. I mean, if you're dealing with, you know, a 70-year-old dude who's got a 20-year-old hottie grinding her crotch into his crinkly old peanut, what do you expect is going to happen? You know, I mean, I don't know. And that to me.
Peanut.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't want to use inappropriate language as we talked about these things.
That just made me like kind of wretched.
Yeah, no, his little gray raisin. All right, would you prefer that? You know? But that's what I'm saying. But that's what is physically there's physical contact that's happening. It's not that, you know, like I said, if it was a like as Vanessa was saying when she would do a table dance, if a guy busted it out and started jacking it, it'd be a different thing.
Course.
She is physically manipulating the dude with her. Womanly wares.
And it was more involuntary. Like if he did whip it out, that's a voluntary act.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? This
exactly.
is an involuntary act.
Yeah.
You're dealing in the art of eroticism. This
Have
is
you tried
to
hold it in before? Oh. It's not the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do.
Creeping into the mind of the stripper for a moment, if you were in that position, wouldn't you think, whether it's logical or not, that he did this on purpose? Or I mean, you would just think, like, you're a pervert. What are you doing?
You could have held back. You could have held it. Yeah.
You're a pervert. I'm grinding my box into your crotch. Yes, I'm going to say
really,
crotch one more time.
He crossed the boundary.
Are you speaking with hyperbole? Or are you really talking about grinding her crotch into a guy's crotch?
I've had lap dances in the past. There's definitely crotches.
I mean, not a knee, not...
Oh no! I've had a crotch grinded into my crotch.
A dry hump.
I've had buttocks grinded into my crotch. I've had bosom grinded into my crotch.
Like, I think if Vanessa's talking about table dances where there's very little contact.
Well,
like,
she's saying it doesn't sound like there was any from where she was doing. Like you had to keep. Well, there. I mean, you've been to clubs that where they actually do it like that. That they make you. There actually has to be a distance that you're not allowed to touch
totally.
A girl. I've been to places like that too. I've also
classy
been.
Joint.
I've been to classy joints where they actually do strip club. Where they actually do strip clubs. Where they actually do physical contact lap dances.
And fully nude as well.
I've definitely been to a fully nude lap dance. Yes, I have. But that was a place that didn't have drinks, and it was a really weird scene there.
Yeah.
Wow. And so I guess I wanted to ask Vanessa why did you think you had to come out with
I didn't feel like I had to, but at the same time, it's... there's a lot of interesting stories about it. There's a lot to talk about. And I didn't want to feel like I was hiding it. And it feels like a little bit disingenuous. Sometimes I'm in a conversation with guys, usually, and they'll make comments about something that, that they either don't know anything about, or I feel like I should chime in and say something, and, you know, it feels wrong not to say something.
Does a lot of friends and family, do you keep it from friends and family, or like, or do the, every, does everyone know?
At the time, everybody knew. I didn't talk about it with my family because I just wasn't talking to my family.
Sure.
So I didn't have, I lived with my mother. My mother knew. But I didn't have a relationship with my dad, so my dad didn't. I didn't necessarily go back and, you know, make everyone aware after I did speak to them again. But
you said you were living with your...
so long, you know, for me, that, like, there's plenty of people that I've met and know now that I'm friends with that it just... it didn't come up, you know. It was something that had happened years ago.
Yes.
But Vanessa, you mentioned that you said that you were living with your mom at the time. What exactly? Mm-hmm. How old were you when you were doing this?
21.
Okay.
21 to about 26.
Oh wow! 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, I knew, but I didn't know. I knew that there was. I mean, it was hinted at in conversation with Vanessa, but I've never
on the air. I'm listening.
Well,
I'm thinking back now.
I know. I'm talking about even before on the air. Yes, that has been hinted on our very airwaves. But I mean, like, I've definitely had conversations with her, not so much about it, but where it's been hinted at, and it was just like, how do you just, you know, how does that just come up in conversation? So it was just like, it was just never spoken about.
I think I know where this is coming from, or I'm pretty sure I know where it's coming from. Last week on the air, we were talking about just withholding and not telling people who you were. It was a conversation about advertising to people.
I wasn't saying for the show. No, I totally understand why she's doing this right now. No, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I'm just saying it's just speaking to the fact of her saying that it's, you know, whether friends and family knew about it. Because I mean, I probably didn't meet Vanessa until probably the very either tail end of that or right after she had, because, you know, I probably met
probably
her like 26.
You're probably not going to brag to your friends and family, or at least to your family, about any kind of thing that the culture deems as taboo, whether you're making money for it or not. Mm-hmm. If you're stripping for money or selling drugs for money or it's not something that you're going to brag about.
If
society says bad, chances are you're not telling your parents about it.
I would like to ask Vanessa now, since there's this revelation, will you be telling more people about the show or less people about the show?
Yeah.
I will tell more people about the show.
Really? You'll tell clients as well? Will you tell work clients? Will you get it involved?
Well, for me, because of the work that I do, there's a little bit of an extra stigma to it.
Yes.
And the way that people assume that they know everything about everything, and they say, oh, well, if you do this, then you must do this. It just so happens that, you know, right now I'm a massage therapist, which is yet another profession that people think that they're... that
if you
might
pay a little extra.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So I have to be a little bit more guarded. For my clients, though... It's not really... I don't spend the time talking about things that go on with me during their sessions.
Yeah, of course. You know? You're not
so
keeping them.
It's not really something that comes up. See, right now in the chat room...
Yeah, I saw it.
You see this? Like this?
What happened?
That's exactly...
White Ass Brent in the chat room just asked, how much for a happy ending? I would assume that he's saying that, like, that's the question that is asked.
Right.
I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he's not actually asking Vanessa.
No, he's not asking Vanessa. Yeah. Of course not. He's a
He might be asking
gentleman.
Ustreamer 40393, who suggested that he has in the past paid a little extra, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, Vanessa,
yeah, exactly. White S. Brent did point out that it was sarcasm that he was doing. I believe that.
Good save, Brent. Good save.
Vanessa, you never got asked that question during your profession. Well, your current profession. Yes, your current profession.
No. I mean, where that happens is... I would never be employed at a place where that actually happens.
Okay. A parlor.
You know, like, I'm just, it's unfortunate that people have to use a word, because prostitution isn't legal. They have to use a word that gives an excuse for a man to be in a room naked to cover up what they're really doing. So massage is a word that has gotten associated with that. No one who does that is really a massage therapist. They don't have licenses. They're just, you know, they're just women who are engaging in prostitution, and... the sign out front says massage.
Now, do you feel like a little weight's been lifted off your shoulders a little bit, Vanessa? I mean, how do you feel? You feel a little, some cathartic in a way?
I would like to get to the part where like it's just funny and less and feels less serious. You know, it's I don't know. I'm a little bit like.
But this is a grave topic that we really need to be addressing in a more serious manner, though.
I don't think so.
You knew.
Wow. No,
What would you rather us play? Stripper music to into this conversation? I mean, we could.
I was just looking for it. Damn, I wish you didn't out it.
You could dumb it up a little bit. I mean, but it's a that you know that was a great reveal, Vanessa.
Yeah, I'm unbelievably impressed.
Chris, when I met you, I was just out of it. You know, okay. Probably like 6 months to a year out at that time, and. And it was, I was trying to distance myself from it in the way that there are people that I met during that time, probably, you know, like 96, 97, that I never, ever, ever mentioned it to at all because I was trying to put it behind me. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a whole bunch of years go by and you're just like, this is dumb. Like, why do I have this, you know?
Skeleton.
If it's in your past and it's, like, it's a secret and nobody ever talks about it, then that means people can talk about it and, like, true. Do damage to you. But if you just talk about it openly, then what can they say?
True. That's very good. I mean, very good. But do you understand why we keep the show? I know you listened last week. Do you understand why we're keeping the show a secret? Why some of us keep the show a secret? Because we're worried about either work stuff. Do you think that shouldn't we shouldn't be doing that?
Yeah, I guess that's my point. I guess we should all just we should be more open about it. I mean, I suppose if it's something that you're doing right now that could cost you your job, you know?
Yeah.
That you should hold that in, but if it's something that could cost you your job, you maybe shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, it's speaking to the same thing. It's the same defense that everyone else had with you know, this is why I won't mention it because I don't want to have to risk getting in trouble where I am. I don't understand what we do on the air here that's so so get in trouble worthy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess there's room for some sort of I don't know, something.
I actually did something for the show this week.
Did you?
Yes. I moved.
You talked to Vanessa about stripping? Is that what else did you do?
I moved bestinshowradio.com. From my 8th MySpace friend to my first MySpace friend.
Wow, look at
you guys
that.
Are on first.
So the 9 other people that go to your MySpace will say, hey, wait, why do you bother moving that?
I have 260 friends.
I'm
man.
Sure. He's with that garbage band. He's
wow.
got a lot of like that
wow.
garbage pull.
Come on, you don't have to diss us. We don't sound like
no,
garbage.
I mean, you play with the garbage, I'm saying.
No, Vanessa, really, I'm being serious about this. Do you have a funny poll story?
A poll story?
Yes.
No, I don't have a funny poll story.
Oh, that's not
I
fun.
I have probably very many funny bachelor party stories, but
oh my
okay,
god!
Bring it, just one.
Share.
Well, okay, so you get bachelor party strippers to come over and they do all these games, you know, the stripper games. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have been to.
What do you mean by stripper games?
I mean the whipped cream game.
Oh no! That now you're not. Now it's not bad enough that you're touching me. Now you gotta like put whipped cream all over me. Jesus.
Well, apparently, from what Vanessa was saying, she wasn't part of the touching scene. It wasn't that touching scene that she was involved.
Well,
with.
You get at a bachelor party, you're gonna touch the guy's cheek. You're gonna do a lot of laughy, funny things.
I think so. What she means, she's putting the whipped cream on herself and. Licking it off herself.
Oh, I bet you she's spraying the bachelor with whipped cream.
Yeah. The goal for me was always to embarrass the bachelor as much as possible.
Yes.
You know, and to make him, like, uncomfortable. So I would think, from my experience, like, a bachelor party is probably the least sexy and the most just straight embarrassing place that...
More like a scene from The Accused is what that is. But that really, I'm speaking as someone who's been to Fred's bachelor party that was hidden in a top room, hidden on top of a bar, that it was one of the filthiest experiences I've ever been involved with in my life. And this is someone that's, yeah. I don't know, I've done some pretty bad things
it could
in
have
my
been,
time and been some pretty bad places.
It wasn't Staten Island. It could have been someplace in, like, Taiwan. Do you know what I mean? It was that.
These days, when you get, like, a private stripper at a bachelor party, sometimes it used to be kind of like, oh, ha, ha, make fun of the bachelor. Now it's just
full
like...
Full on porn.
Yeah, it kind of like scares me a little bit being around that. I'm like, whoa, yeah. I do not want.
Well, this is where my experiences are probably going to be different, just like we talked about, that a lot of innocence has been lost in 10 years since I've been out of the business.
Totally.
At Fred's bachelor party, for example, there was a young lady who danced for a few minutes, and then when she dropped trow, as it were, as she pulled her G-string off, she then removed something that had been sitting inside for the entire first 5 minutes of the dance.
Oh, yeah,
this long beaded string.
It's about 12 yards long.
She had up there?
Yep. She had it up there. And it had been there for 10 minutes as she was just hanging out, dancing around, starting to do the dance. And
what'd
she do with it?
That's actually kind of talented.
And then she wrapped it around Fred's neck and she threw it around the room. Yeah, it was awful. It was one of the more gross things in the world.
Did she like make it walk across the room?
No, it was nothing like that. It was nothing like that. No, her big talent was the fact that she was able to drink.
Yeah, okay, all right.
She chugged a beer twice.
Two beers at once.
That's right, yeah, she chugged two beers and then spit them out. And her mouth was dry while she did that. Yeah, it was hideous.
It'd be really weird if she could make it go out through the mouth.
So who hired this person, though?
My brother.
Why was this your bachelor party?
Well, my brother works down at the docks. He's like a manly guy. He's not like one of us. He's a manly dude.
Mo, you need a stripper for your brother's bachelor party? I got you. Don't worry. I got these mint chicks. They'll hook it up. I swear to God.
It's almost what he said because
Marona tits are like, oh my God.
He saw this girl a couple of months ago and he said it was the best bachelor party he ever went to. Got the one of his friends, got her number from one of his friends and got her. Got her. It was great though. It was a fun time. And it was like humiliation. I was humiliated the whole time. She ripped my underwear. She did all this like humiliating stuff.
Immediately, what I thought as soon as Vanessa said her goal at these things was to embarrass the bachelor as much as possible. I was just thinking about you sitting in this chair, feeling like a jooch, just being stared at. Your little tidy whiteys in the middle of the room. It was disgusting.
And then you have like 30 of your closest friends and family that are all guys there watching you. So embarrassing.
Your dad looking at you.
But I'm sorry.
Father-in-law looking at you.
I'm sorry, Vanessa. Oh. You were in the middle of your story. Your embarrassing story.
It's there's a lot of like hooping it up, like a lot of like woo kind of like everybody's supposed to get really excited in the room, and then you come in and you target the bachelor and proceed to embarrass him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you think about it, it's like that's not, it's not very sexy. It's not a very sexy scene. It's not really sexual activity in my mind.
I guess that depends on the bachelor.
I'm half nude and I have condiments here. Let's make fun of this guy. Sexy. Exactly.
And if he's got like a lot of chest hair or like, if he's a little chubby, all those kind of things.
Hey, don't be so mean to the poor guy.
He's got armpit sweat pouring out of his armpits. Squirting at you.
What if you don't mind me asking? Now, were you were just a topless a topless dancer, or did you do topless bottomless? Did you do
just
mostly
bottomless.
Bikini? Did you like what kind of stuff did you do?
In a club, I worked at a topless club.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but like I said, that was pretty brief. And then at bachelor parties, you go nude.
Bachelor party, you were fully nude?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow. There's no house rules.
But there were it's 10 years ago, as you were saying, it was a different time. It was a tamer thing. Yes. There weren't parlor tricks, as it were, the same way that we're discussing about Fred's bachelor party.
We had parlor tricks, but I imagine they were a lot tamer.
You weren't shooting ping pong balls across the room or something insane like that, or you didn't know anyone that was doing that. It was a different thing. It was like you said, the whipped cream and whatever type stuff.
Now, did you go along with like what they would call a bouncer, like a big dude?
Yeah.
Did he like just chill with you?
I always worked with a bouncer.
Were they cool? How were they?
Our buddy Ryan in the chat room is pointing out that he used to be a one of those bouncers that would go with the strippers, and he would get paid $400 to just go to this party and stand there and watch.
Awesome. Not bad. Job. Not awesome. A bad job.
I wonder if, like, yeah, the worst case scenario, something goes horribly wrong, you get some jerk in that gets like a little touchy and stuff. Like that must be the nightmare.
Those are the times when it's not so fun. And every bachelor party has like it's a group of men and they're all behaving as badly as they're ever going to behave.
There's at least one guy in there that you're scared of. Not to go within 10 feet of or something.
Yes, and there's always one guy, and that's why you have a bouncer with you, and he's the person, you know, you go over when you're handing him money and whisper in his ear, like, you know, blue sweatshirt, like, that's the guy.
Oh, wow.
And
see,
you make sure that you're nowhere near him.
This is changing every perspective I have, and any bit of sexiness that there ever was to this, it's sad when you realize that the people that do things are actually people too. It's really sad. It's really sad to think of it that way.
I think that was Vanessa's original point.
I know.
See, you're thinking that. I'm thinking if when Vanessa went to this bachelor party, if she shaved fully down or if she had a landing strip. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh my god.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think.
I know that's.
I think I'm going to step away from the microphone, and I won't be part of it.
It's messed up. Vanessa, what'd you have?
See, Fred doesn't know me, really, so he's the one who asked this question.
So landing strip is what you're saying. All right, I'm sorry. That was
strippers are very clean in the pants.
Oh, nice. I like that. Clean in the pants.
It's part of the uniform.
Enough. I don't want to think about that.
I would just like to say that if I were Bitey, I would beat your ass the next time I saw you.
I apologize. My disrespect, Vanessa. I mean, no disrespect.
Of course not. We're having open conversation and debate. We're all adults here, and we're allowed to discuss things, and it's fine. It's just.
I mean, no disrespect. I have the utmost respect for Vanessa. I think that.
I have no disrespect. So you think I'm kind of cute? No. Or?
I mean, it takes a certain person to do that. I could never get up in front of people and show my body off. I could never do that. I could never. Well, because I'm like an ugly guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not that what you have to show isn't maybe so appealing. Maybe if you were a ripped, like awesome bodied man, an able bodied young fella.
Or if
maybe
you had boobs. But yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
Vanessa was,
I spoke to Bitey before going open with this. I did have a conversation with him about it.
And he said, I'm not going to be listening to the show. Thank you.
No, he's fine with it. I mean, it's, you know, it's something that, like, it's in my past. It's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And
well, thank you, Bitey and Vanessa.
When's the press conference?
This is a great conversation.
This is great.
I'm a tremendous fan. Opening up, pouring our heart out there, and letting us all know about what's going on with Vanessa. What do you got to say?
I would just ask her if she would you ever consider even going back to stripping?
Now?
Yes.
No.
There's not even a little, like, the money doesn't tempt you. There's nothing that tempts you a little bit.
She makes just as much doing but what she's doing.
Sure, I'm sure she makes more being in a field that's, you know, that health insurance pays for.
Yes.
You know,
right. Which
I'm sure she's doing quite well for herself. And not to mention the check she's getting from Hear Us Talk. She's doing
right, right.
She doesn't need to worry about things like that.
So there'll be no reoccurring.
No. And it was. At the time, you know, when you're making the transition, when you're going from being someone who makes $1,000 on a Saturday night to someone who works for $9 an hour, yep. You know, it was rough then. But I was so ready to be done with it, you know, just emotionally that was fine to me. And it was almost like a little bit like, you know, it was kind of cute. Like, you get your paycheck, you're like, aw, look how cute this is. I made $300. I was here all week.
When you could have made that in a half an hour.
See, that's the thing, man. That's the thing.
What?
That's why smoking hunks is appealing. The idea of working for a couple of hours and making what you could make in 3-4 weeks is outrageous.
Absolutely. And that's probably, it's probably hard to quit. Like, when you are in that position and you're getting a lot of money every week, you know, why give it up? I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, it was a little bit tough. I used to always be paying for things, like, at the grocery store with, like, stacks of singles, you know? I always had a lot of dollars. And
wow.
Every time I would be going through, I'd be buying, like, I'd be buying, like, a bottle of tequila, some limes, and 2 cans of whipped cream, and I'm paying for it in singles. And the grocery store checker would look at me and be like, you must be a waitress or something. And I go, yeah, something.
And a razor, something. Yeah, I've got to be honest. That is such the stereotypical thing that you say when you're handing singles. Oh, yeah, I'm a stripper. And you don't think. I would probably go to the bank before that. I'd probably change it in.
You were changing your ones before you? Before
I would
you?
Think so.
Oh, no
I
way.
Think so.
No way. I'd get rid of my ones on the street. There would be
That's
no question
great.
About it.
That is great.
Yeah, like when I was a cab driver, I used to same thing. I always want to get rid of the. I would put the singles in the bank. I wouldn't walk around with them.
Wow, now I think of Vanessa like a whole different person.
What do you mean? She's the same person she always was. It's just that you know a little bit more about her.
Just a little sexier. Just a little. The onion
is. Is that possible? Is it even possible for Vanessa to be any sexier?
It's great, Vanessa.
Vanessa, if people want to learn any more about your sexiness, how do they do that?
Well, they can come on over and ask all their stripping questions to VanessaCheatwood.blogspot.com.
Awesome.
I'll do my best to answer.
Fantastic. Vanessa, an amazing, outstanding report. Giving of yourself and really, really honestly, I know that I appreciate it more than anything in the world. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Thanks so much, buddy.
That'll be $200.
Fantastic. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Unbelievably, wow. I feel fantastic right now. I mean,
I cannot believe Vanessa. Thank you so much. I don't think I could ever, tell a secret. I don't have many secrets in my life, skeletons in my closet, but I definitely don't think I would reveal something as big as that on the show for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, that's like a secret that should be.
Well, speaking to exactly what you were saying, it's not a secret.
It's great.
If it's a secret like that, then it's something to be talked about.
Yeah, taboo.
In secret, you know, and that's not what it is. That's, you know, it's a life experience that she had. There's no shame there. Rightfully so. There shouldn't be shame there. So why the hell not talk about it?
Well,
screw
if she
it.
Thinks that,
especially if she's got great stories to tell, stuff like that, it's great. She just said she's not ashamed. I am not ashamed. It's fantastic.
Well, if she thinks that we're not going to like talk about it from now on, I think that's wrong. I mean, I think it's great. I would not have the cojones to do that. Thanks, Vanessa. You're the man.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. Let's relax for a second, take a breath, and let people know that if they want to get in touch with the show, they can do so in a couple of ways. They can get us on Instant Messenger. They can come to the chat rooms. They can do lots of things. Or they can call us if they want.
Best in show, let them start your day. You should listen live, the Fantasy Cavalcade. Hear them talk, but why don't you chime in so toll free? It's the hottest of all lines. 877-744-6405, the hottest of all lines. 877-744-6405.
That was the amazing thing that I received this week. I signed on to Pal Talk one night this week, and I got this special gift from our buddy DJ Newstyle, who is joining us on the air right now. What's going on, buddy?
How are you? What's going on, everybody?
Fantastic, fantastic. You took the it seriously when I asked last week and said, hey, I would love for someone to get out there and make a jingle for our song, and, you know, immediately coming out with what I find to be one of the finest songs I've ever heard in my life. I'd put it up there with A Stairway to Heaven. I'd put it up there with what's one of the other Firecracker 500 songs?
Low. Flo Rida is Low.
Yeah, Low by both Flo Rida. Exactly. So what's going on, bud?
Well, I just I was at a diner, Roxbury's own Roxbury Diner.
Fantastic.
Home to many celebrity photos, one of which, Tito Santana. I told you about this before. Tito Santana is a local in my town, and it was a substitute teacher in my high school.
Yeah, see, I didn't know if you were going to say that exactly. Yeah, that, I've had the conversation with Newstyle before about the fact that one of the teachers at his school was former WWF Intercontinental Champion Tito Santana, which is insane to me.
I got imagine the Santanas confused. I thought it was the Black Magic Woman Santana.
No, not that one. No, not the garbage Santana, the one that really did something with his life. A guy who had classic battles with Greg Valentine. Come on.
If we're going to talk about Santanas, don't forget Rafael Santana.
Oh, Rafael Santana is my name. Playing shortstop is my game.
I love that Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtle.
Oh, jeez. He is awesome.
He was my favorite one.
Awesome. By the way, there's in the chat room, in the Heroes Talk room, there is someone named B.I.S. Keith with his name spelt wrong.
It's Kayeth.
And I don't know if I can't believe that that's really Keith, but it's really confusing.
No one would think to actually steal Keith's spotlight.
Yeah. So Keith, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah.
Swing.
Yeah.
Swing. Bada 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 bada.
Thanks. Thanks. Awesome. So you're out at the Roxbury Diner, enjoying yourself, looking at photographs of Tito Santana. What's the deal?
I actually took a picture of the, you know how diners have the celebrity photos with the autographs.
Totally.
I took a picture of the Tito Santana one. It should be on my blog right now. If you go to plugging djnewstyle.com and click on the blog, you'll see it.
Nice.
Not that you'd want to.
No, I do. I do on a regular basis. I'm a big fan. I think everyone should.
Newstyle, what'd you eat? What'd you eat there?
I haven't eaten yet. I've ordered 2 eggs over medium with bacon and wheat toast.
Oh, I'm starving.
And I'm craving.
Is there anything?
Craving it.
Is there anything better than over medium eggs? Over medium, because you put them on a roll nice and you can bite into them and they're just a little bit runny, so you get some of the yolkiness to it. You like them over easy, I'm assuming.
No, I like them hard.
Oh,
I like
over hard,
the
I think
yolk and I flip them so that there's no runniness at all. I like them. Kill them. Make them brown.
See, that's basically scrambled eggs, separated scrambled eggs. I'm not a big fan.
But you don't
to me, that's like how old people eat their eggs. they can't manage any liquidy. They can't manage runny stuff. They have to have everything just easily cut up with a spoon.
I'm thinking just the opposite.
Would run over the gums easily. There's no teeth to hold it in there.
See, I'm thinking just the opposite. The old people would be having the liquidy runny type stuff. Like, I think of the...
Hey, Sonny, bring me 2 soft-boiled eggs and a straw, please.
I think of the cream corn segment of, like, Twin Peaks, you know, with the old, like, people eating it with the...
There's nothing in the world worse than hearing a person chew. There's nothing in the world.
Yeah, especially runny eggs or creamed corn. Yeah, runny eggs is nasty. Yeah, stop that.
I actually like my eggs thrown.
Yeah, I know. So you have this weird thing that you won't eat an egg.
I can't eat an egg, man. Just the texture, the consistency. Oh,
it's incredible, and it's edible.
My wife makes eggs like in the microwave. Like it's like
see, that is nasty. That's nasty.
Disgusts. That's absolutely.
I wonder why you hate eggs. Yeah, egg to egg microwave bad combination.
And my wife.
Oh. Awesome. Yes, I know. I know you're out and about. That you didn't get a chance to check everything out here, Newstyle. But we've been having an interesting show this morning. A big breakthrough with Vanessa talking about her past profession. I actually spoke directly to your co-host, Germ Freak, about the whole shorts in the at this time of year that it's too early to be wearing shorts. And I take exception to a lot of what happened on your show this week. Actually, DJ Newstyle's show Tuesday nights here on Hear Us Talk 9 to 11, or a little later if they get on late. But these things happen. Yeah, it was a fantastic show. I suggest everyone download this week's show if you haven't already.
It
was good stuff.
Yeah, you need to stay away from the jorts. You can't. If you're going to wear shorts early, don't wear the jorts.
Yeah, that's a...
Jeans converted into shorts or just pre-made into shorts. It's no good, ever.
I'm a tremendous fan, I think, of just the basketball short. I think basketball shorts and cargo shorts are really the only way to go. That's why I'm a big fan. Because I play basketball all the time. I'm constantly taking jump shots. I'm playing basketball, as it were.
For a guy, where does the skort fit in? The skort, the skirt, the short.
I actually had an enormous pair of shorts that were so meshy that they actually, like not mesh, like a, such a loose fabric.
Right.
That they actually looked like I was wearing a skirt. But, so they almost were like a skort.
But you're actually... saying that there's such a piece of clothing.
Yes, it's a skort. Well, it's for girls. It's shorts, but it looks like there's a skirt.
So like cheerleader shorts.
Yes,
or something
almost.
Like
no,
that.
No. It's legitimately a skort.
Oh,
it's
like the tennis players wear. All right. I've never
seen a tennis player wear a skort.
Totally.
There's different. There's athletic skorts, and then there's like
skorts.
And there's like casual skorts. You know, there's different types of skorts.
Athletic,
but they're not easy access. I mean, to get into a skort is tough.
I couldn't say that I would know.
You got to knot, then you have to pull down, then you got to unwrap. It's tough. It's tough.
I do not wear shorts. Like, I basically just don't ever wear shorts, even when it's, like, really, really hot. And when I go to the beach, I'll often be in sweatpants or just pants, and I'll sit on the beach. It was tough. Again, going back to my vacation, I actually had to buy a pair of swim trunks while I was at Century 21. That's all I wore when I was there. I never wear shorts.
I could not even imagine being at a beach in pants. I couldn't even imagine that. Newstyle, you're a big fan of being on the Jersey Shore and sometimes wearing like a nice maybe a nice set of slacks as you lie on the beach.
Yeah, crease down the front, couple of you know, my dress sandals on. Get ready for I'm either ready for a beach wedding, or I'm getting ready to you know, just walk around and look like I'm contemplating life. You need shorts on the beach, man. You're nuts.
I used to be pants,
maybe a tank top and a cummerbund as well.
Socks
when you're on the beach
and shell toes. Like that's and I wouldn't take my t-shirt off either. I just burn. I'm like translucently white. Like you can see through me and get the veins and stuff like that. I burn.
I can't
thinking about this.
And that's why you put sunblock on. You put sunblock. SPF 600.
Yeah. Well, I bought the pair of bathing suits, bathing shorts, whatever.
Trunks.
Yeah, bathing trunks, whatever, with the little mesh kind of like holder.
Like
inside.
The wrestling singlet style, like 1930s style, with the two straps that go over your shoulder. Hey, boys, I'm here to swim.
And then I walked out of the beach in my socks and shell toes. I looked ridiculous. So I bought a pair of sandals.
Wait,
I now own
socks?
Tevas. Well, with my shell toes, yeah.
You're an animal.
Yeah, I wear socks with my shoes. What are you talking about?
But you're on the beach.
Yeah,
it's a different
animal. Well, that's what I mean. It didn't work. Day one, it just wasn't working. So I went to like a store in Puerto Rico and I bought Tevas. Now I'm a hippie.
I don't know what Tevas are.
They're like sandals that are, they're fancy sandals. They're kind of like
athletic Birkenstocks.
Sort of like, yeah, like Birkenstocks for soccer players.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You need the shower shoes that you would use if you're using a public shower. This is generic 99-cent sandals that'll put good bruise on your toes.
You could totally shower in this stuff, except it's not 99 cents. I mean, it's like high-priced shower sandals.
What are the rock spiders are the other ones? Like the scuba shoes are the other thing? That's a buddy of mine wore the rock spiders for the longest time.
Now, New Style, if you're at the beach, you're wearing shorts. Are you wearing boxer shorts underneath those shorts as well?
No, because I'm gonna go in the water. Yeah. That's I mean, if I'm on the beach and I know I'm not going in, maybe I'll wear some kind of undergarment beneath the shorts. But I'm not. But it's not trunks at that point. If I'm wearing swimming trunks, which I hate saying. I'm wearing a bathing suit.
You're wearing
a bathing
suit.
That's it. That's it. Bathing suit.
Well, the bathing suit has the built-in underwear with it.
Wait, so hold on. So you wear shorts or do you wear bathing trunks that you're such
bathing
a fan
suit.
Of?
When I go to the beach, if I'm intending on going in the water, I'm going to wear a bathing suit.
Suit.
If
bathing
I'm out
suit.
If it's like nighttime and it's just out for a stroll, I'll wear some shorts and you know, I'll have my gumpers on, I guess.
Gumpers. I've never I don't believe I've owned a pair of swimming trunks in the longest time or in Brian's case swimming trousers in the longest time. I literally wear shorts and boxer shorts to the beach if I'm, you know, and I just jump in the water with my clothes on.
The swim shorts.
Nice, yeah, exactly. A nice pair of tan chinos.
Cut up Cavarici.
See, I don't have those. I have a bathing suit or I have
trunks.
Like bathing suit is what I have because it has the little mesh thing that holds
right, like
onto
bathing
your
trunks.
Yeah, and I now have two pairs of those because I found after I came back I dug it and I found it. Or I have sweatpants that wore out and I have holes in that I've cut off and I have cut off sweatpants. Shorts.
Oh, sweat trunks! I like sweat trunks. I'm a
what is that? Schwartz. I'm Schwartz.
What? But you would go in the water with cut off sweatpants?
No way! No, because
you'd be walking around with like pockets full of bricks. Then after that, it'd be just dripping down your pants.
If I am ever on the beach, I'm in the water. Basically, I don't go stroll around on the beach to have a good time. Like I'll go to the beach and I'll sit down for a little while, and then in 15 minutes I'll be in the water for 5 hours. I just love. I love the ocean, man. I go nuts.
Our buddy Rocco in the chat room is always about freeballing in surf shorts. I don't know exactly what surf shorts are. Those like bike pants?
Like James.
Oh, just like regular shorts then. Yeah.
Knees. They go like almost all the way down to your knees, sometimes a little past.
So kind of like trunks, just without the mesh.
But I think most of them do have a mesh, or at least they used to.
I always cut out the mesh. If I buy swimsuits, swim trunks, I cut out the mesh. I have to. I think they're too constricting. I don't like it. I'd rather just be freeballing as well. But I do use the mesh for an extra pair of underwear. That's where it comes in handy.
So but how can it have the elastic? How do you reestablish elastic?
I sew an elastic in it. My wife goes crazy.
Velcro, you tape Velcro to your stomach, and then the other side of the Velcro is on the mesh?
It's mesh tidy whities, dude, because you can kind of see the silhouette of something in there.
Meshy whities.
That's your stripper pants right there. Right there.
You reuse the mesh that you cut out?
Yes, as an extra underwear because they're... When my wife wants to see me in good underwear, that's the underwear I'll wear because it's kind of revealing. Do you know what I mean?
You're joking.
You know?
You're not telling the truth right now.
Wait, yeah, of course he's joking. Okay. Do you think he's a seamstress with rubber bands putting together elastic and mesh? Then do you think he needs to advertise to his wife, hey, baby, check out what I got in here? Where she's like, yeah, I've seen it. Thanks. I'm good. I think I'll pass.
I always thought it was weird when people cut out the mesh because my cousins would always do that. They'd say how they cut out the mesh, but I don't know. I need to be
restricted
a little bit when I'm swimming and all that.
Totally.
But if you're on a particularly gravelly beach, you'll come back with who knows, like 5 pounds of gravel in the mesh. Disgusting.
It's like you're mining for gold in there.
Yes. Sometimes I saw a shiny one once. I thought I actually struck gold.
That's great. I'm freaked out by the beach though.
Panning.
It's what?
Crotch panning for gold.
I don't own trunks or nor a suit nor anything. I went to the beach last year. Spent a lot of time, and by a lot of time I mean one day. But I went to the beach last year for the first time in the longest time, and I imagine I'll be going back again this year because my daughter was quite fond of being at the beach. So I plan to go this year. So I think I might need to invest in a fine pair of trunks again, or maybe I'll just wear my sweatshirt and jorts to the beach and jump in the water with that. But if I do that, maybe I go the Speedo route. Maybe I just really just go against the laws of humanity and nature and actually do what I can to just be as unattractive on the beach as I possibly can be.
Just go all out. Wow. If I would pay a lot of money to see you in a Speedo. Pay you a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
What's that new style?
I'm sorry, I love the fact that you're so emphatic about paying a lot of money to see him in a Speedo.
Yeah, it's got it. It's,
in public, though. It's in public because I want to see the other people's faces. That's where the money comes from.
I'll go to the mall in a Speedo. I don't care.
No, you won't.
Am I legally allowed to?
No, you won't. I will buy you a pair of Speedos.
Am I legally allowed to? Will I get
in
trouble?
You absolutely can.
You might
get in trouble, but
I think you might need shoes on. I don't think the mall lets you in there without shoes. If you have shoes and a Speedo,
I have no problem going to the mall.
I will buy you the Speedos. We'll capture it on camera. One of us have to have it as long as you wear those boat sandal, the obnoxious, ugly boat sandals. What are they called?
The Crocs.
Crocs. A pair of Crocs, Speedos, and a wife beater.
Can I wear a shirt?
A wife beater.
Done. Done and done.
Oh.
No problem. It'll be up on YouTube. It'll be up on YouTube.
Can we get you to go into Modell's and buy a cup?
What do we make him do? What do we? Okay, he's going into a mall. Yeah. What are we gonna? Maybe go to like a Dairy Queen and get a banana sundae.
No, we make him go.
Is there a Friendly's in there? Is there a Friendly's?
There might be a Friendly's in there.
Oh.
Go to PetSmart and start looking at the pet adoption dogs.
Oh, the gerbils. God. Look for all the gerbils in the place.
That's it. That's the solution. We're going to get him the I'm going to have to get the Speedos. What size Speedo do we get him, by the way?
I don't know.
Like, how do they go in numbers, or is it small?
A 26 petite in women's sizes, I think it is.
And then, yeah, we can have him go buy gerbils.
That would be awesome. Buying a gerbil at the pet store. What are we going to use this gerbil for, sir? I don't, you know, he's going to be my pet.
Freddie, do you have... No, we'll get him like two gerbils.
Do you have any electrical tape and gerbils?
Well, he doesn't... He goes to the hardware store first, buys the electrical tape, and doesn't take a bag. And then goes to the pet store and gets the gerbils.
It's a great
idea. We
can
make this happen, man.
It's a great idea.
Do those two things exist in the Staten Island Mall?
Yes, we could find those two things in the Staten Island Mall.
God,
absolutely.
This is gonna be great.
So, New Style, what else you got going on for the day?
Well, I know, I left my breakfast table, hopping over my grandma, who's in a wheelchair right now.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. So I have to listen to her, the food slosh around in her mouth for a little bit, and then, I don't know, probably just chill out, maybe catch the end of the show.
Nice, man. Nice.
Excellent.
I'm going to buy some swimming trunks, cut the mesh out, and really try to impress my lady tonight.
That's what you got to do.
Make sure you get your sewing, your big sewing machine, though, so you could sew some elastic right back into that thing and make sure, you know, it has the proper stick-to-itiveness that you need that mesh to have.
Yeah, you don't want it to be that easy access, you know. You want your girl to work for it a little. The tighter the elastic.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure my girl's going to be working for it. she's oh my god, I need to get me some of that.
She's working against it.
She's gonna be working to get that out of her brain.
Yeah, do you think maybe you can cover that with some sort of like lead, like maybe like one of those the X-ray vests? Cut one of those and put that over the mesh. That's what she's looking for. She wants Superman to not be able to see through and see it. Awesome.
Oh boy, do we got something lined up for you, Chris?
Oh, what? See, I was out of the room. I was.
See, don't tell her.
Really? We shouldn't tell you?
Well, I mean, he's going to listen to it, bitch.
I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah, the physical challenge is you wear the Speedo through the Staten Island Mall. You go, you buy a roll of duct tape, no bag. You bring the duct tape to the pet store, and then you have to buy a gerbil. And then that's the
yeah,
challenge.
No, I'm not going to do
we're
that.
We're paying for duct tape and gerbil.
You weren't going to do it.
I won't be doing that.
How about just the gerbil?
I don't think the Staten Island Mall actually has a pet store.
I think it does.
If we can find a pet store.
Or buy a stuffed animal gerbil, like a Webkinz or something. Anything that looks like a gerbil.
At a CVS or something.
We'll make him buy like a mask and a teddy bear.
I will be much more comfortable going into a CVS with a Speedo on and going to buy a gerbil. That I have no problem with doing.
What do we make him buy at CVS?
A stuffed gerbil. Or feminine products.
A stuffed. See, I was just thinking some sort of prophylactics or
anal
or
lube.
Yeah, lube, exactly.
Anal lube.
Mascara and lube.
What about Summer's Eve? What are you going to buy Summer's Eve?
White S. Brent in the chat room is saying that I should go in and ask if they sell gerbils already declawed. If not, I walk out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, Vanessa's also pointing out that I'll have to have a shirt and shoes on. I will have shoes and a shirt.
I'm thinking Crocs and a wife beater.
It's just the bottoms that I won't have on.
You'll have bottoms on. It's going to be Speedos, for God's sakes.
Jeez. Yeah. I am ready.
That is great.
And right. Thigh socks. I'll have Crocs and thigh socks and a Speedo.
Like leg warmers?
It just keeps getting better and better.
That's great.
I got no...
Just the scarf. Just the scarf, too.
Little ascot.
I'm more than happy as long as it is documented on video and we could put it up on YouTube for my mom and dad to be so proud of.
My question is, do they have a CVS at the Renaissance Fair?
I refuse. I absolutely refuse to sully my reputation amongst my peers in the 1320s. That's just not going to happen. I won't go dressed like that at the Renaissance Fair. Yeah, the one place where it might be slightly acceptable to come show up dressed like a moron.
I want you to embarrass yourself in front of your guild, you fag.
My guild, come on, don't be. I'll be dressed proper, prim and proper for that. Awesome. Good stuff. New style. Thanks for checking in with us and just being part of the fantasy cavalcade that is Best in Show.
Thanks for having me on. And if you need another jingle because that one's a little bit too slow or whatever, let me know. Maybe I'll work something up.
Oh, as many jingles as you can come up with, it will be fantastic.
That's a call out to everyone in our listening public. I mean, send us some jingles, people.
That was the entire point. Like stepping up to the plate immediately. Our buddy Newstyle here just came in and just really did. You know,
excellent work. Somebody's got a produce around here.
A fine job and has put together a piece of magic that I'm unbelievably proud to have. That I walk around, I find myself singing the song, the number to our show to myself, and it's like, wow, I should call those guys one day. It's really it's outrageous. I love it.
Thanks, Newstyle.
All right, before I hang up, I want to give a shout to Eric Ryan. Thank you.
No doubt.
Eric Ryan. Thank you, Eric. What's up, bro? What's up? That's all I'm saying.
Later, man.
Later, buddy. It's DJ Newstyle.
Peace.
You can check out the DJ Newstyle show over at djnewstyle.com or djnewstyleshow.com, or just go to Hear Us Talk and click on it. He has a new fancy web design for himself, a nice hot little site that he's put together for us and for himself.
That's
it's
awesome,
good
man.
Stuff. He's a good guy. By the way, I had to step out in the middle of that call and go into the other room because apparently my daughter, her clock must not be working. She didn't realize that we're in the middle of doing a show right now, so she's decided to go to sleep in the room next to us right now an hour before the show's over. So
inconsiderate jerk. What is she, four?
That's unbelievable. I can't even. She's not even four yet. But
wait, she pooped. She went out somewhere. She's probably overexcited. She probably had to sleep.
Yeah, she actually slept out. She had her first sleepover last night.
Oh, did she really?
Indeed, she did.
Were you nervous as a parent to her sleeping over somewhere else?
I will be 100% honest with you. I shouldn't have been. And it shouldn't have had any issue. She stood over at my in-laws last night at her grandmother and grandfather's on my wife's side. And
Wait a minute. She had slept over the grandparents' house. She didn't sleep over with other kids.
No. I won't let her be near other children. That's disgusting.
I thought it was like a stranger's house. That's what I thought.
No, I would.
That's step three. The next step will be babysitter, and then you get a sleepover.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about a babysitter.
Exactly. You got to work up to
the grandparents. And your parents. Her grandparents.
Well, I think what Brian's talking about specifically is an independent babysitter. Mm-hmm. No,
getting like a teenage
kid. My daughter is regularly watched by by my in-laws all the time.
Right, right. I mean, family is a little different. But, I mean, you hire a babysitter. Like, when I was a teenager...
Not family, just my in-laws. Those are the only... Oh, okay, not your family, her family. Just the in-laws. Okay. No one beyond that.
I would have... Well, I guess your her brother-in-law... Maybe I shouldn't be talking about
her brother lives in South Carolina, right, okay. I wouldn't have a problem with him watching her either.
But I'm thinking the next step will be babysitter. Like, when I was a teenager, or, like, early teens even, I would be the neighborhood babysitter. They'd hire me out and pay me, like...
Creepy.
Could you imagine Brian
Everyone knew. I was the guy who went and mowed your lawn, and I could also babysit at night.
Walking into your house wearing his stained sweatpants that he just
went
to the beach.
And I also shoveled whenever it snowed. I'd wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Get past that. This is all irrelevant. Those are normal kid things to do. There's no way that a creepy male teen who wears sweatpants to the beach is who I'm inviting into my home to care for my child.
I was like a nerd. I was a smart kid. I always wanted to make a lot of money. I thought I was a nice guy.
Yeah, exactly. The smart nerd kid who's definitely not getting laid and I'm not going to trust my child with.
Come on.
I'm glad that was Brian's two like major points. Like, he'd knock on your door and he'd be like, you need your lawn shoveled? You need your kid watched?
I would like you to come in and shovel my lawn, please.
Can you mow my snow, please?
Mow my snow? I can watch your
kid, too. Mow my child, watch my lawn, and...
shovel my kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Shovel my kid.
No, I wouldn't. Word would go around. Animal. Like, I knew someone... I'd babysit for someone, and, hey, he did really good, and they pass your... The housewives
so you were
pass
successful.
Your name around.
You were
successful. That was great.
Really?
Yeah, I was pretty good with kids, as a matter of fact, which is probably why I hate them so much right now. I spent way too much time with them as a young...
Well, Chris, what wound up happening at the grandparents' house? Did it go good?
There was no call of an emergency that happened. And by the time my wife had picked her up and retrieved our child and brought her back to her rightful owners this morning... We had already begun our fantasy cavalcade of internet talk radio that we do here week in and week out on Hear Us Talk. Bestinshowradio.com. So I don't know.
That's why she's sleeping now, because she probably didn't get a lot of sleep at the grandparents. She probably stayed up. They probably let her stay up.
I can't believe that my in-laws can
cigarettes.
Stay up all night.
Watching Showtime.
Watching Showtime.
Skinamax.
Drinking a beer.
What time does she usually go to bed? 9? 10?
Anywhere between 9 and 10. Sometimes a little later if it's crazy.
Or if we're building a studio one door away from her.
Raph in the chat was pointing out Big Brother After Dark. She was just obsessed with watching. I mean, she loves the feeds. She has to keep watching the feeds. She has to know what's going on.
We were watching Lost together, but she was angry about it being a repeat. Like,
that's
what's this
great.
Horse?
So now that you've broken the seal, sort of, you could, of you going, you know, letting your grandparents, mm-hmm. you know, letting your in-laws watch
Not my grandparents. Yeah. They're dead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up. Now, you could do it all the time. No? Are you going to let them watch her all the time? You could get into free night.
You say it as if it's like a reward I'm giving them. I'm like, oh, you guys can watch her all the time.
No, it's a reward.
Hey, you know what? You guys could pay her rent, too. Hey.
It's a reward you're giving yourself. It's actually having a day for you and your wife to do something. Where in the past 4 years, you probably, those were, you know.
Yeah, well, we would still go out and they would watch her. It's just that we would go pick her up at the end of the night. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not like my wife and I go out all the time. We actually went out last night.
You could have a night to yourself, actually. Like, you could chill in here at night. You could walk naked. You could feel, you know, like you own the place.
I swear to God. Right after my wife left the house this morning, to go pick up our daughter, you guys got here, we're talking like 10:05-ish or something like that. I'd just gotten out of the shower. I was getting ready to come back in the room, and I screamed the F word throughout the house because I can curse in my house now. The first thing... Jeez, everything's crazy. And the first thing that immediately happened right after I walked out of the house and I walked out of the bathroom when everyone was there, I screamed, I cursed out loud, and I said, F! I'm naked in my house! And I walked into my living room and stood around in my living room nude for a couple of seconds. It was just great.
That was the manliest you felt, I bet, in a long, long time.
Oh, I did. There was nothing manly. It was actually pathetic and feminine. I felt very awful about it. Like, wait, I'm so proud that I'm nude. Look at me, I'm naked.
But you like that. That's a release for you. I mean, you like to be naked.
A sweet release of sorts.
You like to curse as well. Those are the two things that you really can't do.
For a guy that at work, where I am, that I curse and don't know how to talk to people and act like a lunatic animal all week, despite being in a very corporate setting, people know that when they come to my section of the office that it's like, you know, all bets are off and God knows what expletives are going to be flying and who I'm going to be calling whatever... You know, whoever is whoever's work ethic I'm going to criticize and attack and just maul people on.
No, you do not do that. You do not say you're a bad worker. You tell people that they're bad workers.
Well, if they do something that I don't like, yeah.
If he has an opinion that differs from theirs, yeah, he's going to call them retarded and immature and infantile.
I would not use the word retarded. That's inappropriate.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But
for a guy that curses a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody definitely.
Sad and lonely.
I'm telling you, man, you curse a lot.
You do? No, you don't. Yes, he does. You really curse a lot.
He curses all the time, this guy. And he's naked all the time.
Off of the show and off of, you know, outside of my house, I'm a fairly common cursor, I guess. I feel weird about it, though.
Would say differently. I would say as a direct result of being on this show, we all become a little more sensitive about saying it.
How about we get a video camera and we go to we follow with me at work when I wear my Crocs and my Speedo and tank top to work, and you'll hear how I curse at work one day. I'm over the top. I definitely. Right.
I mean, I hear it around other people. We're a lot less, I think.
I sit with a woman that sits right behind me, and I'm dropping the C word every couple seconds.
Really?
She's yelling at me all the time. She's a sweetheart. She's a super, super nice lady. But she's definitely gun shy at this point because she's around this monster that sits near her.
Yeah, that's not good. But aren't you still sort of like in a sort of clubhouse atmosphere? Like, don't they tuck you away with all the rest of the animals and the
No, but not they, not where
they
I am
let
now.
You, they let you filter amongst the rest of the population.
I'm in an area that it's a bunch of operations guys, but that would include like vice presidents and stuff. They're all right around me. My vice president on a regular basis is popping his head out of the door, just like, what is even going on out here? Because I regularly, when I get mad, I throw things. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like my own crap, my own feces, whatever. And I'm constantly like taking my phone and whipping it at a wall when I get mad at people. I have a coworker.
You'd never guess.
I got a coworker who sits directly across from me. You guys may or may not have known him as the chick magnet in the past. I regularly throw things at the chick magnet, including thumbtacks. Like I'll get a handful of thumbtacks and
you're just saying, hey, let's play a little bit.
But it's just speaking to my unprofessionalism in a corporate atmosphere.
Were you always like this at work? Like when you were a taxi driver, did you do this kind of the same thing? Throw a CB across the thing? Oh, it's just this work environment makes you like that.
No, it's not the work environment.
When I worked with him, he was a little unprofessional.
Yeah, I'm don't get me wrong. When I need to be professional,
you are. You could turn it on and off. You could turn
it on and off. But when I know that I don't need the filter on, I just go crazy with it.
How about when there's a woman working right in front of you and you're dropping the C-bomb? Perhaps that is like a time that you would need to be professional.
Well, I've tried. I've started lately, like when I burp in the office now, I say, excuse me.
Ooh.
Saying that something. Excuse me, you see? Excuse me. Sorry, I'm a human and I have gas. Excuse me. May your Lord and Savior forgive me, your fake, stupid God.
That's probably where it gets the worst for me, because I do get a little disrespectful of people's religions every once in a while. When people start talking about it, I start getting sarcastic and making fun of it. I probably shouldn't be doing it.
Definitely not, man. What, this is at workplaces that you're doing?
Yeah.
Oof, that's tough.
I find myself saying stuff knee-jerk and then wanting to, like, kind of grab it back. You know what I'm saying?
I think Chris's monkey behavior is more acceptable than Brian's...
You're probably right, actually.
...atheist views.
No?
I mean, I think that's more...
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm also in operations. I'm a meat and potatoes, although I don't eat meat, type of guy. And like, I'm the guy that dispatches people out. Like, I'm the guy who's like down with the people in the streets.
Totally.
I'm
the blue collar guy.
I'm the blue collar, white collar liaison. I am in my job. So I'm down with the regular folk in the street. And I go into corporate meetings, you know, and I go and sit with executives as well. So
you should have that written on your business card: blue collar / white collar liaison. That's a good...
That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for.
It's a good title.
Blue-white liaison is actually what I'm going to say. I blow whitey, actually, is what I'll put on my business cards going forward.
Can we see how the Mets are doing? Are they losing yet?
I don't believe... Has the game price... Go to, like, MLB.com and you can find
I'll do. I can't believe I have a computer in front of me, man. This setup is really good. And I didn't mean to leave you guys last Sunday when because I needed to get home. I was sorry. I know you guys were here till about 12.
Can we talk about that?
What are we going to talk about?
What happened?
You mean setting up the room?
Yeah, setting up the room is what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Brian, to set up this room, we worked kind of diligently, and by we, I mean I worked sort of a little bit.
That's not true. You did the lion's share of the work.
Keith couldn't make it because I think he was going to buy a scorecard for this week's game in advance, so he had to go get ready for that. Fred had to go home and nap with his wife.
I needed to get dinner. My wife gets very mad if she doesn't have her dinner on time.
At 2?
Yes.
2:30. Oh, she's Italian. I forgot. Dinner on Sundays happens at 2 o'clock. Exactly. You're right.
Thank you.
Okay. So, so you had to take care of that. And Brian and I stood and did, like I said, Brian absolutely did an outstanding job. It's rare that I will give Brian credit for anything. This will be one of the exceptions to the rule. Brian did an outstanding job last week of setting this room up with me. And we were here. Brian, what time did you get home last week?
Actually, I think I got home at 12:30, midnight, like 12:30 the next day.
That was because I drove him
home. Yeah, he drove me out, which kudos. Yeah, and after that, I still kind of left it. It's still a little disheveled, and I left it with things that we have to do. And it looks like you did a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, it's
including the audio checks, as everyone will attest to, with our bad sound today, which we apologize for.
Yeah, but we were like, it's beyond just kind of restructuring the studio. We got to the point where we were, like, removing doors from his room so that we could get the desk out.
Yeah, move furniture around. By the way, I don't want to take a step back. I know we're past the story, but I find it unbelievably hilarious that our buddy Pickle once told a coworker that he was going to cut off his AIDS-filled head. That is grounds for firing.
I could see that, yeah.
That is absolutely grounds for firing.
Actually, I heard that's a way to actually get rid of it.
Oh, if you cut someone's head off, you get rid of it. If the AIDS is localized to the head, if you cut it off, they'll be okay.
There's a symptom, though, like you die. You don't have AIDS anymore, but you're dead.
I wonder what environment Pickle was in.
That's the same type of thing that they do for cancer, right? You the chemo tries to kill the cancer before it kills you. This is the way to kill the AIDS before it kills you. I mean, you will also die at the same time, but it's no different than chemo. Same difference.
What could have possibly made Pickle say that to the person? I mean, this person must have been a real douche. Because that's a bad thing to say.
He probably stepped on his sneakers or something.
Oh, no. That's not Pickle. That's not his kind. He's probably the type of guy that's...
Insulted his musical taste.
That's Mookie.
Exactly. A guy probably said something like, yeah,
my Bloody Valentine was
I'm not
overrated.
Really a huge fan of the Blake Babies. Like, that was it. So it got into a knockdown, drag-out brawl of AIDS. Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of the Lilies.
What does a person have to do to make that you say that to them?
What do you mean?
What does a person have to say to you for you to say back at them, I'll shut up or I'll cut your AIDS head off?
There's nothing in the entire world that would ever make me... Wait, what? You're giving fake phone numbers out in the chat room. You're making him call like IBM right now.
let me update on my voodoo candle. My voodoo candle just went out.
And so has Keith's life.
And Milwaukee is winning 2-0 in the first inning of the Mets game.
Wow, it was 0-0 a second and a half ago.
2-0. I think somebody just got a home run. Voodoo works.
Congratulations, Voodoo.
So what does a person have to say to you?
I can't imagine that there's anything in the world that would make me cut off someone's AIDS-filled head. Like, I've definitely told people I'd stab them, but I've never said, like, I'll cut off your AIDS-ridden
head. Because that's really...
That's too much. It's too much.
I mean, I guess...
How about just cut off your head?
I guess if somebody talks about your wife and kid, your family, of course, that's probably the most dearest and closest thing to you.
I would just strike them, though. I wouldn't tell them that I'm going to stab them.
That's
if someone attacked me, I attack my family, I would probably be incited to riot.
That's true. That's true. You would really fight? When was the last time you got into a fight? I haven't been into a
1923.
Fight. Really?
No, the last time I was in a fight was like the early 90s. I think I told the story on the air that I was skating while some guy was playing basketball. He got angry with me and he told me to stop skating because I was messing up his concentration. And I said, screw that. And I continued to skate. And so he came and started to fight me. And I was a tough guy and decided to fight back. And he whipped my ass. On the hottest of all lines, joining us on this, the best of all shows, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this is joining us?
This is AIDS Cutter.
Hi, AIDS Cutter. Welcome to the show, buddy.
No, what's going on? It's Pickle.
Nothing. Yeah, we were just talking about. Obviously, we're just talking about what you're saying in the chat room. What exactly would what exactly happened at this awful, awful job? And I wouldn't suggest mentioning names, but at this awful job, what exactly happened that made you tell someone you're going to cut off their AIDS-ridden head? Or his AIDS filled head, excuse me.
When I was living in Philly, I was working at an all gay printing company. And me and this other coworker were the only ones that were not gay.
Wait a second.
They only used pink ink.
Yeah, before you go any further, what do you mean by all gay printing company? Like they only hired gay people for tax reasons or something?
It was owned by a gay couple. And they had bought into this business because it was building that...
I want you to know how dumb I am. I was going to say, wow, a gay man and woman? They owned this together? I'm so smart.
No, it was a gay couple, and they had bought into this because they had bought the building that this printing company was in. So originally, the company had been around for a while, but it was not gay-owned. It was that the owner sold it, and he was willing to sell them the name of the business with the building. So they bought the building, and they decided, well, let's keep running this business. And they knew nothing about printing. They knew nothing about computers. They knew anything. And it was just led to, like, the most ridiculous work environment due to the fact that they didn't know anything.
So you worked for bosses that didn't know what they were doing, and that made you give them AIDS in their heads.
No.
Like,
but they were gay.
He's wishing the gay employees that I will rip your AIDS-filled head off.
Well, because of this,
one more thing I want to point out. Gay printing company. Why were you working there?
He said what? He and his friend were the only two non-gayers.
Boo.
Yeah, I was not the non-gayer. I did not take it in the exit.
Well, did he get fired? Did you get fired?
Well, he was just explaining the whole thing.
I actually did get fired. That's a whole other story, but... what happened was, they would hire mostly gay people, and then they would hire, like, me and this other guy were hired because we were the only ones that really knew what we were doing. Except for this other gay coworker who ended up leaving for the same reasons I got fired and the same reasons why this other guy kind of got fired left. So what happened was, one time they had hired this friend of theirs, quote-unquote friend, and he knew nothing what he was doing, and he was just very, very unprofessional and very just like an idiot. He was just a complete emotional, you know, stereotypical gay guy.
He fagged off is what you're saying.
Oh, he fagged off all the time.
Okay.
And one time we were out, we would have work meetings, and unfortunately they would not go to a normal bar or restaurant. They would go to... these gay bars because they were afraid to go to straight bars because they were afraid they would get beat up, which, you know, I thought was strange, but whatever. So one time we went and he got drunk and he started to come on to me. And at first I told him, you know, back off, you know, you're drunk. So then he told me that I was his Britney Spears, which I don't know what that means, but I guess he thought that I was hot. And then he grabbed me from behind.
No, he thought you were untalented. He was saying you were untalented.
He said he was into bears. And so one of my other coworkers who happened to be gay told him, like, back off. You know, you're, like, really, like, stepping over boundaries right now and just, like, chill out.
That means something else entirely in gay code, by the way. Back off.
Yeah. No, he was just telling him just to back off. And he kept doing it. And then the next thing you know, I just flipped out and punched him in the chest and told him that I was going to cut off his gaze-infested head.
Wait, so maybe you should be pointing out that the main part of the story is that you struck a coworker, not that you told him you were going to cut off his AIDS-ridden head. It's that you struck him, you lunatic.
And it wasn't related to the job. It was actually like a gay bashing. It wasn't even related to the job. Yeah, Pickle, you're crazy.
I was going to say, so in summation, allow me to do the recap of the story. Brian hates everyone. No, so Pickle worked at a gay place, and nobody knew anything there except for him. He was the best, and all the dudes kept hitting on him, so he hit them.
Well, he's pretty
hot. It was just one guy. It was just this one creepy gay guy.
Okay, I'm saying all of the, and no one there knew what they were doing except for you, and then one of them happened to hit on you. Is that better? Is that the better summation of the story?
No, basically what they would do is they would just hire, like, they would hire their friends, and then they would get people who kind of knew what they were doing. And so there were three people who knew what they were doing out of 10 people that worked there.
Uh-huh.
Well, including me, of course, because I'm the best.
Obviously. And Pickle. Obviously. And a gay basher.
When he hit on you, did he touch you? Did he try to kiss you?
Yeah, he touched me. He touched me.
Whereabouts?
He dry humped me from behind.
He touched me on my hand when I shook it.
That's strip bar fare, dry humping. You got to be careful with that. If you would have achieved, if you would have completed, there would have been an issue there.
I love how we use... I love how we use our phone as an opportunity just to belittle any friends that happen to call us. Like anyone who, oh, hey, it's someone that knows us. Let's kill them on the phone.
What happened?
Yeah, thanks.
We were just talking as friends. We're talking as friends. Yeah, a gay dude legitimately dry humping you from behind maybe is a bit much.
Yes.
The fact that you introduced the story as, hey, I had this guy at work. I told him I was going to cut off his AIDS-ridden head. Oh, yeah, then I punched him. Oh, wait, did I forget to mention he anally raped me? So, of course, we're going to attack you at first. If I knew that it was, that the story went that way, I would have been more sympathetic.
We would have never had you on.
Yeah, exactly. I would have said, yeah, no, we don't need this. real life experience?
Well, the other coworker who was telling him to back off grabbed me and pulled me out of there and was like, we better get out of here now or we're going to get beat up by homos.
his other coworker grabbed him and dragged him off because he knew what he would do. He knew what Pickle was capable of, that he was going to murder that dude.
Oh, no, I was thinking he was getting him out of the way because he knew what the other one would do. He's like, oh, this is fresh meat. Get him away from that shark.
But be honest, Pickle, when a gay guy comes on to you, it is a little bit, you feel kind of nice. You're like, oh, I'm an attractive guy.
I think it's
great. You don't feel, Chris, right? You feel
a little.
I would
think it was great if it ever happened to me. I would think it would be great.
Well, it happened a couple times, and I was, like, flattered, but I wasn't, like, I'd be like, no, no thanks, I'm straight.
Flattered.
And you smoke cigarettes, too, don't you?
He does.
Me, yes.
Smokinghunks.com.
Let's get you working.
That is great.
You know what? I could use the money right now.
There you go. There you go. Smoke. We could make this connection work. We could make this happen.
I could very easily have your bare ass, and by bare I mean B-E-A-R, your bare ass set up on Smoking Hunks if you want. I got a buddy.
No, thanks.
He could hook you up.
It was the only, it was the only job. It was the only job ever where I got physical. I mean, a couple times, not physical sexually, Brian, like you do, but like. Physically, like I punch people. Like there was another time I was working, and we had this machine, this huge machine that would come down and cut paper, and it would cut
like a thousand.
No. It was like a machine that was made to cut like a thousand sheets of paper at one time.
Big electric scissors. That's what I would call that.
Correct. And the owners were so cheap that like the safety stopped working on it, so it was made to trigger with just two buttons. You had to press these two buttons at the same time with your hand, or it would not cut the paper. And because the machine was so old and they were so cheap, that all of a sudden the machine started cutting with just pressing one button. And one time while I was cutting paper, I had another gay coworker come behind me and goose me from behind.
Goosey.
And when he did that, the safety gate dropped on my hand, and the blade started to drop. And because while that was happening, I was like, that's it. My hand is going to get cut off, and I'm going to have, like, no hand. And luckily, one of my other coworkers flipped the safety switch in the back, and it stopped the machine. And I punched that coworker in the head, the one that goosed me from behind. So
yeah, I will go so far as to say this does really sound like maybe the worst job in the world. I wouldn't go so far as to suggest, chopping off AIDS heads and punching people in the workplace, but I guess when extremities are being risked of being sliced off, I guess you probably should. You probably should consider that maybe it's not a good job. Maybe it's time to get into a different profession.
Absolutely.
I ended up getting fired. Well, what happened was I had quit, and I gave him my 2 weeks notice, and then next thing you know, they fire me because they said I was homophobic.
I don't
know. No, you don't say.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't homophobic.
No, that's not homophobic.
I was not.
I do agree that you're an unbelievable homophobe, but in this case, I think that you were totally in the right with everything you've done. As soon as your
he was homophobically
health,
correct.
Yeah, homophobically correct. Exactly, with Bill Maher.
I was HC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The fact that you, as Raph is suggesting in the chat room, I mean, you were physically stroked by another man. You were inappropriately touched.
Touched, of course.
That's sexual harassment.
Yep, absolutely.
Although I will say right off the bat that any guy who claims to be sexually harassed, I immediately say has to be gay under any circumstances. But that's just me. Even if it is by a gay guy.
Chris, it got that bad at some point. I was actually looking into suing them for that. And I ended up did suing them and winning, but it was just such a nightmare. And it was not because it was a majority of gay people, but it was because the owners did not know how to run it.
What do you mean you won?
Okay, wait, hold on. Hold on one second, dude.
First of all,
No. I sued them for something else. I sued them for something else. Okay. I didn't sue them for sexual harassment.
Can I just point something out here? This story is more and more turning into Penthouse Forum by the minute. Did you even have a job? Did you even have any job ever? Because you like just matter-of-factly at the end, you read what is being written in the chat room, and now you're throwing extra frosting on the story. I'm waiting for Rocka to point out. Yeah, you should have taken one of those guys and threw him under a semi. It's like, well, as a matter of fact, right after the case ended, I did take the lawyer and throw him underneath the semi.
I would love. He didn't say it was because of that. I would love to know why he sued the company. Would they call you an Italian slice?
White-ass Brent knows exactly what I'm talking about with the pillow, with the paper cutter. It's called a guillotine paper cutter, and that's exactly what it was. That, and like those things, if you ever see one of those things are scary.
Yeah, okay, dude, but this is totally taking away from the fact that you just, like, your story has evolved three times since we've begun this phone call. What exactly happened? What did you sue them for?
I ended up suing them for firing me for false reasons. They tried to claim that I was...
They tried to claim I punched somebody.
No. The two times I did that, I thought I would get fired for that, but I didn't.
So what was it?
And they would pull me in the office, and they were like, you know, we understand, like, this is how you would talk. We understand that sometimes it's very stressful, and we understand that people sometimes don't think about the others that they work with, but, you know, we'd ask if you can just, you know, try to, like, hold back and just tell us next time something like that happens.
We'd ask you to try not to strike your coworkers.
So what did you sue them for? Like, what did they fire you?
What happened was I ended up quitting because the job was so bad. Like, there were constant fights. There were constant things getting thrown around. Imagine, like, working with 17 Chrises, all gay.
Oh, that's fun. 17 Chrises.
Think Chrises. So it was constantly, like, arguing, constantly over, like, silly stuff because they didn't understand anything. Like, they would flip out about the smallest thing just because they had no clue what they were doing. So one time, I put my 2 weeks in.
I love you, bro. You know I love you, right?
Yeah.
This story has just gotten so convoluted and insane. This has just gotten
it's
insane.
It's not convoluted. Do you understand that this place was just so crazy? It was just the worst job I ever had. This is worse than when I had the job at Hot Bagels and I got a gun stuck to my head when I was 17 years old.
That's bad.
Yeah, that bad. So what happened was I put my 2 weeks in, I quit, and they got mad about that. So, like, the whole week
and
I was
then,
there, they weren't...
And then one day, I did such a good job on one of the paper lines that somebody came in and said, hey, I want to give you the Nobel Peace Prize for paper cutting, for guillotine paper cutting. I think you're the best at that. And
so
then,
so
then they had Playmate of the Year, Victoria Stilvestet, come over and give me this award. And when she did, she accidentally bent over, and when we were having sex accidentally, $100 bills started shooting out of her nipples at me. It was really, I hated that job. I just hated that job. And there were fights all over the place.
What I got fired for is we had a machine that would fold paper. And it was
an electric.
Again,
we call those electric folders where I'm from.
I
call those secretaries.
It's actually called a folding and scoring machine.
A Foldomatic.
And
the Foldomatic 2000. I'm familiar with it.
Correct. And it was old and broken, and they wouldn't pay to fix it. And one day I put a piece of paper that you would find in a typical like inkjet piece.
It was old and broken, like your story halfway through.
And it broke. And they try to say I purposely broke it. Like it just broke down, and they say I tried to purposely broke it, and then you know they fired me on the spot, and they wanted me to sign this thing saying that it was my fault, and I told them no, fuck you, I'm not signing anything.
Totally.
And then next thing you know, when I applied for unemployment, they wrote one of the reasons why they fired me because I was homophobic.
But okay, I want to take this back a little bit. I'm not trying to poke holes in your story here, but you said that you quit.
No, he got fired when
I did
he quit. He quit.
I gave my 2 weeks.
He quit from being fired.
Oh, he quit. You quit, and they said, you can't quit.
No.
We are fired.
I gave my 2 weeks in.
Fire me. I'm already fired. Fire me. I'm already fired.
At a week into my final 2 weeks, that's when they fired me. And because of that, I was able to sue them and get unemployment. And, so they end up screwing themselves. The best part is when I had the little, it wasn't a court case, but it was like a, we had someone from unemployment in an office, and it was like me and the two owners, and it was the most hysterical thing because they flipped out and had like a gay fit. And because of that, I won.
By the way, in the chat room, White S. Brent points out, when in the story does Pickle get the AIDS? And Rocket responds by quoting himself saying, and that's when I wanted to cut my AIDS-filled head.
No, I didn't get AIDS. But there were times where I was afraid to use the bathroom.
All right, Pickle. Right, I'm going to flag you for a run-on story. And that doesn't make sense. I'm going to give you an extra penalty for that.
But, and we're going to call Lifebeat so you could maybe say a couple of nice words for them.
But I will say that if nothing else, I've enjoyed the past 10 minutes as nonsensical and insane as they were. We'll talk to you next time, buddy. God bless.
I guess that goes down to history as the worst phone call into the show ever.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's good. I liked it.
I've enjoyed it. It was totally false and farcical and insane
hate.
And yeah, exactly. And homophobic.
I wish it was false. I'm still scared. I'm still scared of gay people to this day.
Remember when?
That's why I don't come over, Chris.
Remember when you got the paper cut from the machine, but it turned out that the paper was actually a shark and it was a shark bite.
No, it wasn't that.
Awesome, buddy. We'll talk to you next time you call in when we have a half hour to kill with fakeness.
Thanks, douche.
Later, dude.
Pickle.
Wow.
So Pickle said that he got a cut from a machine, a paper machine that had AIDS, and then he...
That's how he got AIDS.
Oh, my God.
I want mouthwash. I want to rinse out. I want to clean off after that. That was just one of the weirdest things.
His last statement was like, "I'm still scared of gay people." Like, isn't that the literal translation?
Never had a fight at work. Never had one of those things at work at all. Never. Thank God.
I yell at people all the time.
But you never had an altercation where
physical? I have.
Real, physical? Yeah.
Well, what a shock.
Yeah, totally.
The guy who threw hands over Descartes has no problem getting into a fight at work. Why wouldn't he?
I mean, getting into a fight at work, that takes something big, something huge. I mean, I don't even think that what Pickle went through even deserved a fight.
I don't think what Pickle went through happened either, but that's another story.
At that manual labor bread job that I had before I became an IT guy, there was easily a fight, maybe two, every night. So you were, and we were all crammed in close quarters.
A fight in the office every night?
And there was not an office. It was a warehouse, and people were doing manual labor, and someone would get in their space or take something of theirs, and then within seconds, a fight would ensue. And then the entire swamp of people would crowd around and get it. I'm exaggerating. Not twice a night. Maybe twice a week, there would be a fight.
Would they crowd around and start betting? Start taking bets who was going to win?
Pull apart. I mean, fights like a street fight.
Wait, are you suggesting it was like a cockfight? That everyone just got in a circle around it and started throwing money?
It was like a regular street fight. There's words. They get close to each other. If they're lucky, they get two or three punches, and then 20 people are pulling it apart. Yeah. And it's just like... It was inevitable. If you were there for longer than a month, you would get in a fight.
Wow.
It was just, that's how it was.
What a work environment that must be. You never got into a fight, Chris, right?
No,
never?
Not at work.
Just
no,
words.
Crazy talk.
Just words. Even words. I don't even...
I yell. I just yell. I don't get into fights. I just yell at people. I don't consider what happens with me and Brian fighting, really. We disagree and we
that's
yell.
True.
It's not a
true.
Fight.
And then we kiss afterwards.
You guys know at the gay printing factory that we work at.
As much as you guys fight, you guys are pretty close when I see you guys in a normal atmosphere. But
I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
No, you're closer than I think, because sometimes I think you see you guys at each other's throats like you're the worst of enemies.
We're passionate about our beliefs.
See, that's the thing. I don't have that passion that you guys do. I think you have it more though. I don't know for what reason.
What do you mean?
I think you have this only child syndrome.
What is the... I thought the only child syndrome means that I think I'm the center of the world. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah. Like attention, maybe.
It's not so much I think I'm the center of the world as I think I'm the center of my world. It's just I'm the center of your world, or I should be, I think is where I'm at. Basically, I just think that everything I think is right, and if you don't agree with me, you're wrong. That's all. That's
okay. I agree with that.
Good. Awesome. By the way, as I scanned my list of notes, I'm so mad that I forgot about one of the topics I want to talk about today, because it would have been the perfect tie-in to Vanessa's stripping revelation earlier today. And I don't know if I should save it if I should just let it go.
We got 25 minutes to burn.
I know. It's why I have a lot of stuff I could talk about. But yeah, I've been obsessed lately with thinking about I'm trying to think how to word this. AIDS? I don't want to say it's an obsession. I have been obsessed with AIDS, too. I watched the Queen Latifah AIDS movie this morning. It was great.
Which one is that?
I don't know. Something. It's Queen Latifah has AIDS or something like that is what it is. Life something.
She was in Philadelphia?
Yes. She played
she
Tom
was
Hanks.
In the city of Philadelphia, and she got AIDS.
Yeah, I don't remember what the name
of it. That's how it works.
When I got out of the shower this morning, I put it on while I was cleaning up the room this morning, and for some reason Queen Latifah had AIDS. It was great. Huh. But that's not what I was looking to do.
Kids. Great. It was not great. Yes.
It was. I enjoyed it. I was enjoying it while I was watching it, and then I put on UFC instead, which I still haven't seen, so don't anyone ruin it for me.
I won't.
He's a sled.
What? What? You're telling me that Rosebud the Fighter is a sled? Unbelievable.
But what was it? How did it relate to Vanessa?
So, yeah, I don't know how the topic came up, but I jotted, like, I find myself jotting notes down during the week of things I want to talk about. And I got into this whole thing of wanting to see people naked. And not just the typical, ooh, yeah, I want to, you know, see naked girls naked. Like, I want to see the people that I know naked. Thank you. And I think, and I came up with the idea that I think I want to put together a website that is either called, see, here's what, I'm trying to remember how exactly it came about. Like, there was a website, and I was searching and trying to figure out if there's a way to see the people that you know nude. So I wanted the idea of there to be a website that is thegirlIwentToSchoolWith.com as a porn site, or girlsIknowNaked.com. Oh my God, nude space is being pointed out. If nude space is like really in existence,
someone should capture that. Well, I know that there exists out there, like my girlfriend. Like, if you break up with your girlfriend or something, you've got nasty pictures or videos or something. Now you put it up, and yeah, people like will attach names to
the ex-girlfriend stuff like that.
But I think a lot of that is fake. I'm sure, imagine.
I'm sure it is. I'm saying, like, the girls that are in the adult industry, you would assume that they've come from someplace. They were not born out of a test tube at some point in a lab and just started to bang for bucks immediately.
They were in science class with some dude.
They were in class. So I was thinking, just take these porn stars and sort them by their neighborhood, schooling, or something like that, so dudes could see the dude that they went to grammar school with.
Now you'd have to, like, they don't even give their real names. Like, you'd have to be digging deep into the industry to get actual names and actual historical
stuff.
Well,
that's the thing. I wasn't looking to do it, you know, covertly on my own. I was looking, like, almost like as a submission type thing, like girlsIknow.com. If you're in porn, you want to be a popular porn star. Why wouldn't you want more people to know who it is that you're doing so you can make more money what you're doing? You'd be better paid.
See, I had a similar idea, Chris, this week. I was watching, I watch porn.
By the way, Rockcuts pointed out in the chat room that they actually do have the site, and he can't remember the site. I love the idea of being able to sort by location.
I'd like to sort by, like, movie star, because now there's been so many porn stars.
I have the site for you. It's called freeones.com.
8 million websites out there do that.
Yeah, I would say there's more than one, but there's a ton of them. But freeones is the one that I know.
That the porn star looks like the actual actress.
Oh,
that's what
there
I'm talking
you go.
About. I'm saying you're going to get an Angelina Jolie, but an Angelina Jolie who looks like Angelina Jolie as a porn star. I know that I've been watching porn so much. There's, like, porn stars that look exactly like famous people. So if you want to see Jennifer Aniston, you're going to go check this porn star out that looks like Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Bangdenston
exactly.
is who I would get for that. I'm a tremendous fan of Melissa Milano, and I'm a huge fan of, I can't think of any others off the top of my
Mariah,
head.
Mary Carey.
What's the other one that I always thought was also Melissa Milano? the trashy Alyssa Milano.
Allison Milano? Oh, I don't know. I know Melissa Milano. That's the only one that I know.
There's a Crawford in there that looks like Cindy Crawford.
Wow, nudespace.com is available. I love the idea of people you know naked.
Now, you would take... Now, how would that work? You have a picture of your, say, ex-girlfriend naked. You're going to put that on...
No, I have a picture of myself naked.
Oh, and you're going to just
maybe
put it
my
up.
Speedo. My Speedo and my tank top I put up there. You know, and just if you, so people could see you naked. Like, almost like a driver's license type thing. Like
is great.
You get in there.
That is great. That's a brilliant idea. Do you think people would actually sign it? Do you think that would be big?
I think for porn stars, I think porn stars would get into that. Like I said, I love the idea of being able to see the people that are Like, the fact of the matter is, let's be honest. I know no one wants to see me naked, but I have no problem showing myself naked. I couldn't possibly care less.
And there's a 5% chance that you might get somebody who does find you attractive.
If they do or they don't is of little consequence to me. I'm saying that I have no problem showing it. And I'm guessing that probably a lot more people that are out there that are not in the adult industry would consider being exposed. I don't know. I guess at the internet age, it's kind of hard because then everybody could see, and maybe you don't want your coworkers to see you naked. I love the idea of being able to see everyone naked. I'm a voyeur. I love that stuff.
But MySpace, you could set like a security thing where only your friends could see it.
Only people on your friends list?
No, but will it be like Hot or Not where you would rate them as well?
No.
You wouldn't rate them.
No,
it's
I don't
just
want
like
that.
A friend sharing.
No, just like it's like MySpace. Yeah. You put your own personal stuff up, not somebody else's. You have nude, you know, nudespace.com/Freddy.
Yes.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Nude Space.
Would you set it up? How would you set yours up? What would your picture be like?
I don't know. Rotgut is on it. He said he's going to run the site if we buy it.
It was Kari Wuhrer. That's who it was.
Yeah, Kari Wuhrer has nothing to do with Alyssa Milano.
You're
insane.
I had this assumption a while back that Kari Wuhrer was a stage name for Alyssa Milano. When she wanted to be nude or dirty in a movie, she'd take on that name. Because in my eyes, they look so similar. I was convinced of it. I would spread the theory around, and then one day I was watching Celebrity Jeopardy, and they were both there at the same time.
Did they look like each other?
Kinda, I suppose, but
it actually was just there was a mirror between the two things.
I was so convinced. I mean, I was, I guess, probably high or something. Dude, but I was really convinced that they were both.
You'd be a millionaire with this nude space thing.
I don't think I'd be a millionaire because I don't think I'd be able to get money from it. One,
would you have to be nude? Would you have to be fully nude, or could it just be erotic
it's up
pictures?
To you. Whatever
you decide.
It's up to you.
The user decides.
Wow,
it's not a bad idea. I mean, people. I'm sure there's people out there who would do it.
If there's a suggestion that Rocket's also saying that it should be a requirement that there are full nude body shots. I think the minute that you put things on it, like that you make it that you have to do it.
I mean, you don't even have to make
prerequisites, really.
You don't even have to make it that they're topless. You just, here's a place for you to be nude and come on over and be nude. You know what I mean? You can have like sexy sort of shots and. I don't know. Maybe there would be a rating system so people would see the more popular. Way to encourage
but
more
nudity. But this is getting away from my point. My point is so you could see the people you know naked.
I'm just saying it might be a little embarrassing for someone to be getting naked, and if there was some sort of encouragement for them to get naked, they would do it.
Who would be on your top friends? That's what I want to know. Who would be those top people that you know that you would want to see naked?
Right off the bat, Keith.
Totally.
I would have to see Keith naked.
I've got to be honest. I don't think that there's anyone I don't want to see naked.
Really?
I don't think there's a soul that I don't want to see naked. Even morbidly obese and hideous ones. I would love to see everyone naked.
White ass Brett says Chris's mom would be in his top 8.
Oh, yeah,
easily.
Fantastic. Fantastic. She'd be blocked from my friends list, let's just say.
I don't. See, I'm the opposite. I don't want to see people naked. I'm just like, the more clothes, the better. Wear a snowsuit in here when
I
come in here.
Okay. I hate doing it with her not here. You're going to tell me you wouldn't want to see Vanessa naked if she had a profile on nudespace.com? I would.
You see, think I am a little different than you. I'm not sure I would want to see it, but if it existed and I knew it was out there, I'd probably go look for it.
I would look at it, but I would not tell anyone that I've ever looked at it.
Of course. Well, I'm not suggesting that you would. You don't have to.
The moment I see it, I would be like, oh, I shouldn't have done. I wouldn't want to see it, but I'd have to see it.
The
like
service being
record.
Out there, I would. Come on, how do you not?
And I don't see how. People like 18, 19, 20 years old wouldn't do this. People are going to do this all the... People would do it, man. Get it out there.
It's a good idea. I mean, well, like I said, they found that it's not registered yet. I think someone in our chat room right now is probably registering it for the drop in the bucket that it costs for the year to do it. And if something comes out of it, you owe Chris money.
I just want to point out really quickly in here that White Sprint is getting a little out of line here. My mom does not have a nice little landing strip. We're not going to have this discussion on the air. We know that she goes just straight bald. Stop it.
Yeah.
Now, what
clearly.
Would be, you know on MySpace it says favorite?
Dude, she doesn't even shave. You know your mom's got a winter bush.
I don't really want to have this discussion anymore.
On MySpace it says like favorite movie.
It's funny when I make the joke. It's gross when you do.
Favorite movie, favorite book, people you want to meet. Maybe it's like favorite body part of yourself. Maybe it's a little bit more racier.
I love
the questionnaires.
I love my second throat.
You know what I mean?
Muffspace.com if you want to really just
that's the way to do it.
Cut
like
to
just,
the chase.
Yeah, not even have your name associated with it. Just take a...
But that's
junk space. But it's just take a picture of your junk. It doesn't even have to be this is Brian's junk. It's see, just, but, here's... Here's
but what's
stuff.
What would be the point of that? That's going against everything else. That's the same as like just going to any amateur porn site and you can get that. Go well, to youporn.com
yeah, but
and
then
you can
have
get
a
that.
Face.
It's faceless. This Anna.
This
just,
is just
you
like
know, anonymous.
You know these guys.
No, there's tons of just that all over the internet.
Totally,
there's tons of it. Yeah, like, I'm not.
What Chris is talking about, he wants to know the person. He wants to actually. You are such a voyeur, man. You want to like delve in. I don't understand. Like you could say with Nude Space there was, and you saw me naked. You could honestly be comfortable like looking at me for the rest of my life.
Why wouldn't I be able to? Dude, I want you to know that there was a point in my life that I suggested to my friends that we have a masturbation party, which is a bunch of girls with a bunch of girls and guys hanging out in the room and just fiddling ourselves. Nobody touching anybody, just like so we could hang out. And, you know, and then if you want any material from one of your friends, you look at the other side of the room and look at you know. Mary Jane, you know, putting a broom in her ass or whatever, you know, and then, oh, then you got me over here, you know, spitting in my hand and doing whatever it is that I'm doing.
I'm never going to touch myself again. It's over.
This is the cast of Hair? What are you talking about?
It obviously didn't happen. I suggested it, and I actually got two relatively hot girls that we know that agreed that they would do it, and then, I mean, it just never happened.
So the party was just you and those two girls, basically. It was your party.
It was actually that one of the nights that we actually did talk about doing it. It was just me and those two girls and an 8-ball of cocaine. But that's another story for another day. And by another day, I mean never to be spoken of again. Man. Nothing happened. It was we just did a lot of drugs.
It's one
but,
of them.
But we talked about it.
Was one of them your mother?
Yes. See, both of them were my mother, actually.
I couldn't. I'm not even comfortable in strip clubs. I went to a strip club twice in my life, and I'm just not comfortable. I could not see me being in an orgy or like even being involved
or
seeing
it
in the same room. Oh.
And by the way, allow me to point out that 8-ball of cocaine that night was picked up from a stripper.
Wow.
That had nothing to do with any of us, that we went to a strip bar to go pick it up. Let's go back to that.
That was a second job?
No, it was a totally different girl that had nothing to do with it.
No, that was her, the stripper's second job.
Like she sold
she would distribute. Yeah, why wouldn't she?
Wow, see, strippers, now that Mackenzie girl's come out, strippers have been writing, strippers are doing radio shows.
Raph in the chat room says it loud and clear, coke equals money in strip clubs.
Yeah, it's true.
Come on. What are you going to do?
But what is it about coke in the strip club? Don't you want something to mellow you out? Like, coke kind of, like, riles you up. Like, if you're in a strip
club...
Seriously,
I'm bringing a six-pack with me the next time.
You don't want to be pent up, you know, because you're going to walk out of there pent up anyway. I would think marijuana would be the strip club...
Everyone's sleeping. Like, eating nachos in the corner. Like, drooling all over themselves.
Eaten at a strip club, Chris? Have you ever eaten at a strip club?
I've been to one strip club that offered food, and I did not get the food. It was a free buffet. That came at the place, and the place was an all nude
seafood.
Yes, all
shellfish.
Seafood. Yes, obviously. they had a hot buffet table, and it was a all nude place that you were. It was a bring your own beer place because they weren't allowed to serve liquor, but they did. It was in Jersey.
It's little strips of roast beef that you could.
I can't believe that you even frequent strip clubs.
In your heyday, when I was a young guy. When I was a young guy, absolutely, I would go to, like I said before, well, it was like, you know, between the ages of like 17 and 22, maybe not even, 17 and 20, 21-ish, I would frequent strip bars kind of regularly.
See, I'm sure I wanted to at that age, but never had the balls to do it. And then like one day I grew up and I went, and it was the first day I went, I was like, I don't want to be here.
This is what I wanted to get to?
Did you guys go in, Chris, like you and your friends when you went?
I went with your cousin regularly. We used to go to a strip bar on Staten Island, and we used to go in because we were both underage at the time. We would put on suits before we would go in and make it like we were on lunch break. We would get there and hope that would convince people that we were adults.
Did you actually go in thinking that you would hook up? Like, is that what every guy thinks, like, when they go to a strip club, like, I'm going to hook up tonight?
I don't want to say I went in there thinking that regularly, but there are definitely times that I've thought, I've definitely hooked up in a strip club. I've hooked up with one girl in a strip club.
A stripper or a girl that
went there? No, a stripper.
Really? Look at you.
With a stripper in Jersey once. I don't want to make this be like, hey, I'm so cool,
no,
penthouse
totally.
Forum talk. No, there was one girl that I hooked up with at a place called Delilah's Den.
And did you pay for it?
No, I did not. I definitely gave her ridiculous tips while I was getting lap dances, and I guess she probably felt like maybe she owed me, I think is what it was, because she gave me her number after the illicit parking lot activity took place. Well, I say illicit. It wasn't illicit because I didn't exchange the money for that. She just did it on her own after we
maybe
had,
you just looked a little like her father or something.
Yeah, I could have been. But yeah, after we, you know.
You just hooked up. You just kissed.
No. I received oral treats.
Wow.
In the parking lot. Gorgeous.
She yelled at you?
Yes. And
that's what we call it around my household.
And when we were finished, I gave her my number, and she gave me her number, and the number wasn't her number. It was just a fake number of someone else. So stinks. I don't understand why.
You don't understand, really? You don't understand?
No, I don't understand why she would have been in the parking lot blowing me, is what I don't understand.
Because you overtipped. You paid too much for her dance. But she was. She thought
didn't have to give a number.
She felt obligated.
She didn't need to give a number. She insinuated that you were buying something else, I guess.
I don't know. She didn't... it was her that was, she initiated the, hey, we should go outside and have a cigarette.
So she did that and then you paid her?
No.
Then
no,
you initiated.
Paid her in the strip club.
That's
you paid
what
her in
I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
No.
You paid her too much money. You didn't know that you were buying something, and apparently you
but
did.
But I'm telling you, it wasn't anything like that. It was just regular action. I gave your regular strip bar fare. I got my lap dance, whatever. Gave her, tipped her, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
You probably think the people at Burger King who serve you food like you as well.
Right, and then she was done, and everything was over, and it was completed, and she went off stage, and she was doing her usual walk around the bar, hey, do you guys want a lap dance mm-hmm. thing? And when she came over to me, after the fact, she came over to me and said, hey, you want to go outside and have a cigarette?
You probably actually go out on dates with escorts as well.
But I'm telling you, when she asked me if I wanted to go out and have a cigarette, did not give her any money at that point. I went out and had a cigarette.
But you gave her too much money 5 minutes before that.
But I didn't give her that much money.
Really?
It's not like I gave her hundreds of
dollars. It wasn't breaking the bank.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
No, it was nothing like that. Like I probably gave her, for a $20 dance, I probably gave her $40.
You live the American dream. This dude's all over this country that dream about having that experience every day. Every day, and you had it. How did this lucky bastard get that experience? And was it I want to go into it, but was it the best that you have ever had? It was just regular.
It was regular. I don't know how it could be better or worse necessarily. I mean, I know it could be worse if there are teeth involved.
Okay.
But it was nothing, it wasn't spectacular. It was, I mean, I was also blown away, quite literally,
by
the fact that it was even happening.
Yes.
I was like, wait, I can't believe I'm outside with a gorgeous, this gorgeous stripper that I was just totally like, fiending over, and this is happening.
Did you think you were going to get married?
Yes. that was actually my immediate thought. That was my immediate thought.
How soon after did you call? Did you find out that the number was not the number?
Were you still in the parking lot?
I definitely called her later that night.
Yes.
Of course I did.
I gave her
after I left.
I would too.
I gave her $40 and a ring. I don't know how that happened.
DJ Newstyle in the chat room, I had the linens and the flatware picked out.
Exactly. That is great.
Pickle notes something that he might be onto here. Pickle says, I have been to strip clubs with Chris, and the dancer always would dig him because he would make them laugh.
You see?
Then why did you give me a fake number, baby?
No.
Why did you give me a fake number? If you dug me, why did you give me a fake number?
Oh, dude. You were
maybe
so
you
bummed.
Weren't all that. When did she give you the number? After?
Oh, in the parking lot, yeah.
After the...
Yes, after the act was completed.
Yeah. All right. That's...
Dude, you are a stud, man.
Yeah, I know.
You're a stud. Yeah.
I was a younger, more attractive, skinnier Chris that apparently made girls laugh.
Did you give her your number?
Yes, I did.
Ooh.
And what if she called? It's not the same number.
No, we're talking about like
decades ago.
We're talking about 15 years
Wouldn't
ago.
Wouldn't it be great if like he just woke up when he's like 42? This guy.
I'm being asked in the chat room who gave the number first. I gave the number first. I said, hey, give me
then that's why you got a fake number. Because she's like, well, he gave me a number. I have to give her mine.
You're
877-393.
You're putting all these obligations in there that were there. Like, she was obligated to blow me. She was obligated to give me a phone number. It was nothing like that. I literally said, I gave her my number and said, hey, if you ever want to hang out, here's my number. Give me a call.
But then she naturally, it would have been awkward if she was like, oh, okay, just take this.
No, she could have said, okay, thanks.
And that's it. She could have never called you. Exactly,
and it would have been over. I said, "Hey, if you ever want to hang out, give me a call." She's like, "Oh yeah, cool, definitely. Here, take my number."
Did she have one of those weird, like American Gladiator, like stripper names, like Ice?
I have no idea.
You
I don't
even know her name.
I don't remember at all what her name was.
Was it the time and temperature? Like, what number did she give you?
No, it was a doo doo doo. The number you have reached.
It didn't start with 555?
Yeah, I dialed it, 555-2222. I don't understand why it didn't work. Yeah, no, it was a you know, the doo-doo-doo, the number of reasons. Maybe she just didn't pay her bill and she forgot. Maybe I should try and call her now.
Try and call her.
See how she's been.
This, it wasn't Vanessa, by the way. If anyone was thinking that, this was not Vanessa.
Was that necessary? Come on.
Absolutely. I mean, some people in our chat room might be thinking that.
Yeah, no, certainly nothing of the nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort, no. Ridiculous.
Well, you're the man, dude. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm really not.
Thank you for being the man.
At one point in my life, I had a fine experience. I'm telling you, masturbation parties, it's the way to go.
Maybe we'll do some. Well, maybe we'll do that with our chicks.
No, we won't.
We'll do that, maybe.
Maybe I'll you guys will do that.
I don't think my wife would want to be involved with anything of that nature. Oh, but yeah. But if there was someone that she would, I think she wouldn't mind watching you whack it.
Really?
No, probably not. On the hottest of all lines, joining us on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
Yeah, Rotgut.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey.
Oh, not much, man. What's going on with you guys?
Oh, no, just sitting, talking, thinking about strippers and whatnot. The table's been set and the stage has been set by Vanessa earlier in the show.
Yeah, it's been an awesome show so far. I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, excellent.
I was going to say, with strippers... the last thing you want to do if you want to try and get a stripper home with you is give her any money. That just shows weakness in their eyes. I've worked with a lot of strippers. I used to bounce for them. I used to bounce in clubs. I used to bounce private parties. And the last guys they go for are the guys that are trying to shell out money to them because they can get that any time.
Exactly. They're getting it on their own.
Yeah, they want the guys that don't show them any kind of attention, that just kind of look at them out of the corner of their eye and whatever, go back to their drink.
Daddy
Those
issues.
Are the guys they go after. That's why I said in the room, you know, you want to get a stripper, just get your drink, go sit in a dark corner, watch them from a dark corner. They'll come to you, man, every single time. And when they come to you, don't fucking hit on them. Just sit there and bullshit with them. I've walked out with so many strippers from strip clubs, it's unreal. I just can't stand them anymore, man. They're all fucking, they're so full of themselves. It's ridiculous.
I've got to be honest. I don't. I it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it would be the same angle that you would go with any sort of a chick that you want. You know, you show a little bit of a like, hey, what's up, and then like not pay much attention. Totally. I guess would be the regular move. Again, I'm removed from the game, obviously.
And for the record, we're also not talking about Vanessa. Yes. Vanessa is the exception.
And you have to think these girls are at work. These girls are at work. They're working. You know, you can't really pay attention to them. The less you pay attention, I agree with Rotgut. The less you pay attention.
I would think if what you're looking to do is actually legitimately hook up with this girl, then I guess the way to do it would be, like I said, the same way you would with any girl. Just like, eh, whatever, you know.
Insult them?
Play hard to get. Yes, play hard to get, as it were.
Yeah.
Whereas if your money is not hard to get, why would they have? They don't have to work for it. You're giving it to them. So.
No, just like any other woman. Spit in their face.
It's not even about playing hard to get. It's not even about playing hard to get. You just got to be their friend.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That's all they want. They just want you to be their friend. That turns them on more than anything else. Because they don't get too many friends because they're strippers.
Oh, man. That actually just made me feel a little bit sad for a second.
Thank you.
That made me feel a little bit sad thinking about it. They don't get many friends. I had some stripper friends, and I was quite fond of them as friends. And by friends, I mean they were my coke dealer. But we were good friends.
Were you friends with Vanessa when she was stripping?
We mentioned that earlier. No, I really met Vanessa after... her stripping days were over just after, like maybe like the year or so after that is what she pointed out. I didn't know, like I knew that there was a stripping past there, but I wasn't delving deep and looking to find that stuff out.
Totally. Well, Rotgut, thanks for potentially ruining my marriage for that advice. Thank you.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Have fun. Great show.
Excellent, bud. Thanks so much. Good stuff. We get some dating advice. So if you want to date a stripper, that's what you got to do. We got it from Rotgut. It's
hard to get.
It's good stuff.
You got outro, Bree?
Word, homie, we're going to end this show, this interesting, sexually charged, magical wonderland that was today. It's a Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk. Special thanks to DJ Newstyle, Rotgut, Vanessa, Pickle, and all of you for taking part and dealing with these audio issues that we've had for the entire program. We'll try and clean them up and make things better. See you guys next week. It's Best in Show. Cocky socks, steamroller, roll over your face.
Come back, Keith.
Could you, you know, Artie Lang leaves Stern this week. Now, and now Keith leaves Best in Show. What the hell?
A peace bone got found in the dinosaur wing. Well, I was jumping all over, but my fuse was slowly shrinking. I was a jugular vein in a juggler's girl. Supposedly leaking the most interesting colors. Half of my fingers are dipped in the sand. You progress in letters, but you're used to cooking broccoli. The other side of takeout is mildew on rice. An obsession with the past. And just a few things all related to the old. She follows you.
Brian, is this the boredom, or just someone that desperately wants
the
to be the boredom?
The monster was happy when we made him amazed. Cause he don't understand intentions, and he just looks at your face. I bet the bubbles exploded to tickle the bath. And all the birds are very curious on the fish rat surface. We'll have for me waiting for myself to get calm. I'm like a pelican, a red tide on the corpse. I'm not a fisherman. A blowout does not mean I will have a good night. And an obsession with the past. And just a few things all related to the old time. When we did believe in magic and we did. Cause I'm a word that you should follow. It's your own. Well, I start in a hose and I end in a yard. When I feel like I'm stealing, I can keep myself from hearing God. Only the taste of your cooking can make me bow on the ground. Was the clouds that called the mountains? It was the mountains that made the kids scream. Well, she wore all her parts, but she never was found. You think I call her back to New York to be an artist, but are you anything? You find out that you can't ask your baby to cry. An obsession with the past. It's like the moonlight. And just a few things are related to the old. We're getting